Thanks, Steve. Hi, everybody. It's Bill and Wendy. Ready for another edition of our show. If you want to jump in, please do. We'd love to hear from you. 312-981-7200. Hi, Wendy.
Good morning to you, Billy Leff.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Can I tell you something strange? I'm not a superstitious person at all, really. And I can kind of see through almost every superstition. And sometimes I will ridicule somebody who's overly superstitious. Last night, our dinner ended. And I did the dishes when dinner was over. And the Cubs game was in the top of the third inning. I think it was 1-0 at the time. So I turned the TV on to have the TV going on as I was doing the dishes. And then it became apparent that Kyle Hendricks had a no-hitter. And it was only the third inning. So when the dishes were done, 5 or 10 minutes later, I sat down. And then the no-hitter continued, you know, into the fourth inning, into the fifth inning, into the sixth inning.
I mean, that's when I sat down.
Is that when you sat down, Steve?
For the seventh.
So then it becomes a thing, because then you go, wow, we're 12 outs away, then we're 8 outs away, then we're 6 outs away.
Start texting your friends. I called my dad.
Did you do that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Did you do that? Well, I then get it in my head, because my family was in the living room, set to do other things, and I was to join them. That was the original plan.
Right.
But then I realized that if I were to leave the kitchen, his no-hitter would be blown.
You should have kept doing dishes while you were there.
Well, it was almost to that extent.
Polish the silver.
Right. Because at some point I say, hey, you know what I should do is I should call Terry and Reese in to see this important event. But I didn't even want to say the words no hitter. I'm like, hey, come on in here. You got to see something of consequence in the world of sports. I didn't want to yell out the words no hitter. So this, it just kept building and building, and there were other things that needed to be done. And I'm like, I can't leave the room. I don't.
And you know, you have Jack Brickhouse, I think, to blame for that.
Did he start doing that?
No, when I was a kid, it was the same thing. Don't move. There's a rally going.
Oh, yeah.
And I can remember that clearly.
Yeah.
He said, don't move.
Yeah. Watching the baseball game, he said, all right, don't move. There's a rally going.
Even last night, they said in between innings, no flipping, you know, like don't change the mojo of what's going on here. And they stayed with the broadcast. You know how usually in between innings they cut to commercial?
Yeah.
For reasons I still don't fully understand, they didn't do that. They said in the eighth inning, oh, by the way, next inning we're going to stay live.
All the drama.
Yeah, that's what it was. That's what
wow.
it was. Now, it ended up, sadly, with the first batter in the ninth inning with an 0-2 pitch parked one into the right field seats to ruin the no-hitter and the shutout. And, yeah, everybody, I mean, they gave him a great hand.
And what a great attitude he had after the game. I don't know if you saw the post-game interview. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very mature about it. And, you know, I just thank God I didn't wake up as Country Joe West this morning.
He's the worst umpire in baseball.
And yet still working?
He's been working since we were children.
Yeah.
I bet it's been 40 years.
Does he still have his eyesight?
He never had his eyesight.
I don't think he ever really played into it.
Then how can he still be doing that?
He thinks he's the biggest story in every room, and it's just...
Every once in a while, there'll be an official in some sport. You know who's like... Remember a guy named Hugh Hollins in basketball?
Sure.
He was the same way. He would always figure, hey, I haven't really been involved much in the game, so maybe I'll do something big. And that's not really the job of the officials. Their job is to call the game. But Joe West yesterday, Madden comes out just to tell the players, hey, go talk to him after he gives out the home run. Go talk to Kyle Hendricks.
Now, and remember, this is an extraordinary event. The guy was 3 outs away from a no-hitter.
Right.
He gets, you know, so this is kind of extra rule.
Yeah. So then Joe West says, oh, that counts as a mound visit to Madden, which it doesn't, because he didn't go out to the mound. He got out of the dugout and he said to the players, go talk to Kyle. Let him know he gave up a run. That's fine. We're still in the game. And he counted that as a mound visit, which really screwed up everything. So I don't remember seeing Madden thrown out of a game as a Cubs manager.
And that's the thing, Bill. It really didn't screw up anything. He didn't need to do it.
Right.
The Cubs were up 4-0.
Right.
It was the top of the ninth. There was no reason for him to interject himself into that situation.
He wanted some screen time.
It's like no respect for the ritual or tradition of the game. I mean, it's like a foul ball hitting an umpire,
right?
And then a catcher will wander around to give the umpire time to recover,
right?
You know,
right?
It's the same sort of thing. This guy almost had a no hitter. cut him a little bit of a break.
You would think, but Joe West doesn't have it in him. I mean, it was the one tarnishing moment. Well, the other tarnishing moment, I guess, would be that guy Hazel Baker hitting the home run. That was kind of a tarnishing
Hazel?
Moment.
Hazel
Baker.
Hazel Baker.
Yeah.
Even that wasn't tarnishing because it was great. It was all good.
Yeah.
And then this guy, you know, squats on the parade. Just.
I know. That was a little damaging. But it was such a magical moment last night. And, I mean, sadly, he did not get the no-hitter, and that's too bad. The Cubs still won the game, so that was good news. But, boy, he is the one wild card in this whole season. He was the guy that nobody expected. Everybody thought, oh, he'll be fine. He's the fifth starter. He's not going to help us. He's not going to hurt us. He'll just throw the ball, and that's fine.
But he's nailing it.
He's been like the best pitcher in baseball all season long.
What's the magic number?
Three. So one more win. If they win either tonight or tomorrow, they clinch a tie, but two wins and the division is theirs. The Pirates have already been eliminated. It's just the Cardinals at this point.
Wow.
So
it's getting down to the nitty-gritty.
Now, here's another question really quickly. Let's say not today but tomorrow, because that would be clinching day, you beat the Cardinals and you beat them on their home turf. How do you react to that? Normally when a team clinches the division, there's a lot of celebrating that goes on. But is it rubbing their face in it to do it there in St. Louis?
No.
It isn't? I wonder.
It's no different than winning a playoff series at someone else's park.
Yeah, you can't. What are you supposed to just act like it's no big deal?
Except, here's the difference. There's a chance that we would still face them again in the playoffs.
So we face them again. I mean, this is a huge accomplishment.
It is a huge accomplishment.
What, do you just sit there and yell into your shirt? Hey, where'd it go?
Joe West would throw you out of the game for that. You'd be tossed out for that.
Oh,
unnecessary slobbering.
Right. I want them to do it very badly, obviously, but I was thinking, how do you do it tactfully? There's some people who say you shouldn't even celebrate at all when you just win the division, because that's not really winning. You've won the division, and that's all well and good. But I think, boy, you work so hard for 162 games.
You
owe yourself something. Yeah. It's just harsh doing it on their field in St. Louis. And again, last night, this has been the Cubs thing the last couple months. Wherever they show up, you hear the crowd rooting for the Cubs. And I thought to myself, well, that's not going to happen in St. Louis, not where that rivalry is so strong. But
it did
happen last night. A lot of blue in a crowd that's always filled with red. There was a lot of blue there last night.
Yeah, and you don't want to celebrate too much because it's sort of like the Washington Nationals or Generals celebrating beating the Harlem Globetrotters. Because usually it's the Globetrotters. I mean, the Cardinals usually are the ones.
Right.
You know?
No, that's very true. That's
but
very true.
You still have to do a minor celebration.
Yeah, something. I would just be a little more reserved because I think...
Just curtsy.
That's exactly what I would do. That's the best way to handle it. All right, let's take a break, and we've got some people on the line who want to talk. We're at 312-981-7200. It's Bill Leff, and it's Wendy Snyder on WGN.
Does everybody have Cubby fever?
You know, I'm sure there's plenty of people in the city who are trying their best to not be affected by it, but... For 108 years, I think, since the last World Series victory, 108 years, something like that. We've been hoping for a season like this for a long, long time. And last night was one of the more exciting games as Kyle Hendricks pitched a one-hitter. We'll get to more of that in just a little bit. Chicago Tribune delivers the stories that make the city with more journalists at work than any other local news source. You can become a member today at chicagotribune.com.
All right, so the magic number is 3.
Right.
Good for you guys.
Yeah.
And then they do what after number 3?
Well, they play out for another 2.5 weeks, and then we will face the winner of the wild card, which will probably be either the San Francisco Giants or the New York Mets, probably. It's not in stone yet, but those are your two front runners right now.
All right, we go to the phones. Tom's on the line. Hello, Tom, are you a Cub fan?
Yes, I'm a Cubs fan. I've got a question for Bill, Steve, Wendy, whoever wants to answer it.
Sure.
St. Louis thinks? first of all, there's no crying in baseball, as Sully has told us.
Right.
There is no crying in baseball.
Right.
Why? What was in their thinking? Our guy Hendricks is sitting in the dugout relaxing, waiting to come into the ninth inning.
Yes.
First and third, two outs, down 4 runs.
Yes. They're
going to intentionally walk by us. To get to Hendricks?
Well, that was to mess with his head a little bit.
I don't like when they do that. I know it's strategy, but I don't like that.
Right.
So right. I say, who cares what St. Louis thinks? We should win both games and celebrate right on our field.
All right. That's fair. I'll enjoy that. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom.
They in the ninth inning for the Cubs, there was a hit, and then what they could have done is pitch to Baez, but they decided to walk him to load the bases to get Hendricks up because he was, as it was just pointed out, just sitting on the bench kind of focusing on the game. And I don't know if you've ever seen this in baseball. I mean, we've had a couple of incidents on the south side where mostly Mark Burley has pitched no-hitters in perfect games. The players on the team don't talk to him at all, the pitcher who's pitching. He is the lonest of lone men. He just sits in the dugout, and nobody comes near him because nobody wants to be the guy who just says the wrong thing.
Right.
So you just see him looking lonely, just sitting it by himself.
It's kind of weird, isn't it?
It's really
weird. You abandon a guy.
It's really weird.
Well, you don't want to mess with his mojo.
Isolated. That's it. And also, in the old days, now this has changed dramatically, no announcer would use the words no-hitter under any circumstances. They just wouldn't say it on the air. But last night, they talked about the fact that it was a no-hitter for three innings.
You have to talk about it now. I mean, really.
Yeah.
Everything has changed now.
Yeah. Well, I was trying to figure out what the purpose of that is, like why that changed. Because I remember when I was a kid once, I'm trying to remember who pitched. I want to say Ferguson Jenkins in a game where he had one in the seventh, and Jack Berkowitz used the word no-no. We've got a no-no, and that's all he would say. He wouldn't say no-hitter, just a no-no. So I wonder why it became more acceptable for the announcers to mention the fact that it's a no-hitter. But they did for three innings. They showed clips of other Cubs no-hitters. They showed charts showing the last five Cub no-hitters.
I don't know. I feel like, you know, with all the instant messages that come over, everyone's hearing about
right.
it. There are alerts going off.
Right.
Don't they have to talk about it?
Yeah, I was okay. I just, like I said, I didn't want to leave the kitchen. We've got this great widescreen TV in our living room, and I'm watching it on this little 3-inch television set in the kitchen because I didn't want to mess anything up.
That has always been your superstition. If you start watching something on one TV, you can't switch off.
Yeah. And I know how stupid that is.
No, it isn't.
Like, Kyle Hendricks isn't going to be aware of somehow that I went into another room and give up a hit. But I'm like, I can't leave this room. I got to watch it on this TV.
We all have our little quirky things. You have many.
Yeah.
Hi, TJ.
Hello. How are you?
Good. Go Cubs.
Yeah, no kidding.
I don't really mean that.
Wow.
I do mean it.
You guys made a comment about, you know, like when an umpire gets a foul ball, the catcher, out of respect, kind of like hovers around for a second, give him a second
to
catch his breath.
Sure.
I was so praying that when Chapman came in that Montero would have called for a high fastball and forget to catch it.
So it would plunk Joe West, the umpire.
Yeah.
And Montero says that West told him to go out there at one point. Said,
really?
Go on out there. And then said, then he came back and said, if you go out there again, it's a trip to the mound or something like that. It's very confusing.
Why don't they get rid of this guy?
I can't figure that out either. I guess you get tenure, kind of. So, you know.
He's beloved.
He's beloved.
By whom?
Joe West.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Good point.
But I like your idea, TJ. Very smart. Very funny.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Bye, TJ. Not the same one John Williams is hosting, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Different
Thomas
TJ.
Jefferson.
Totally
that's
different
right.
TJ.
We'll tell you about that later. I think it's scheduled.
I know.
It is. 11:35. Stay tuned for that.
Here's a couple of highlights, or what we hope will be highlights on the show. Robin Baumgarten from the WGN TV Morning News will be by. We've been trying to get her in studio for several years. So she'll stop by. A nice reunion. We all worked together at The Loop several years ago. We're going to pay tribute to a singer whose birthday is today, who I know some of you have heard of, but probably more of you haven't. And the style of music is very interesting.
It's Peruvian.
It is Peruvian music. And it's
awesome.
Isn't it, though? It's infectious.
It really is.
I know. So we'll do that. Bridget Carey's going to be by for Tech Tuesday, and then plenty of other things. So stay where you are. Big show ahead. Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN.
It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. It's a Tech Tuesday. We're going to talk to Bridget Carey from CNET in just a couple minutes. But what kind of phones does everyone have? I think we all have iPhones except Bill, who has something. You have a shoe.
Princess phone.
I don't even understand why you got the Windows phone. I know the guy said it was the easiest phone to use.
And I believed him.
God, you got to ask
around. I'm gullible. Yeah.
Don't you ask people at work, like, hey, what do you use?
No.
Does anybody in your family have this type of phone?
Mm-mm. I don't know that anyone else in the world has this phone. I think it's just me.
Just be thankful you did not get a Galaxy Note 7.
Because?
Oh, my God. A 6-year-old boy from Brooklyn has reportedly become the latest victim of Samsung's disastrous exploding Galaxy Note 7 batteries. This is a huge deal.
This is the new Galaxy Volcano that they're selling?
Yes. God, that would be a great name.
They should call it that.
The boy had been using the device at his family home when it suddenly burst into flames, according to the New York Post. He was rushed to the hospital with burns to his body. There was so much smoke that the smoke detector in the house went off.
Oh, my God.
Samsung issued a recall of just a few of its latest phones, 2.5 million.
That's a couple.
Holy moly.
Wait, so... help me understand this. So it's when you're charging the battery, there's something in the battery charger or the battery?
No, it's the lithium batteries were exploding while they were being charged. My question is, why in the world wasn't this checked out before? There was a whole thing now where you cannot bring it on, or if you bring it on a plane, they tell you you're supposed to power off your phone, which I don't think anybody does.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're charging this Galaxy Note 7 on a flight and it explodes,
then
that's bad.
When I charge my phone, the phone gets hot. Is that supposed to happen?
Mine does too.
Yours does too? Does that cause you some concern at all?
No, it's a battery charging. Doesn't get hot enough to explode.
It doesn't get, well, no, luckily not, but I just, like, I'll touch it while it's finishing being charged, and I'll go, that's a lot hotter than I'm comfortable with.
Computers get hot, too, when you're using them, laptops. Hmm. The American Aviation Regulator and various Australian airlines were joined by India, asking customers not to charge or turn on their Galaxy Note 7S while in the air. Even though the South Korean manufacturer has said that only a fraction of its batteries are at risk.
What are you complaining about? It's just a fraction.
In its recall announcement, it said that only 24 units in a million were affected.
That is an incredibly low percentage.
But
it's still too high for our liking.
Oh, my God. And flight attendants are busy enough stopping fights on airplanes.
I know.
How are they going to walk around and... Are your trays up? Your seats up? Is your phone off? Let me see your phone.
Yeah.
And with these portable chargers that everybody has now, that I bring it on the plane because when I run out of juice and I can't play Candy Crush, I plug into the portable charger or your laptop.
Don't you think, though, that people now are so addicted to their phone that even knowing this, that these could blow up anywhere that you're charging, it will still not prevent people from charging them. They'll still go, I don't want to be without my phone. It's a very low percentage. I'm still going to charge it.
Well, it's a recall. Samsung's president urged phone owners to participate in the recall as soon as possible. So just go back to where you got it.
How do you know if yours is one of the ones in the recall? Do they send you something?
I don't think I'd wait to find out. I would just return
it. Anyway.
Yes. Yeah. In a statement that was issued this past Saturday, Samsung's president of mobile communications urged phone owners participate in that recall as soon as possible. This is what he said. Our number one priority is the safety of our customers. Should have thought of that before it was released.
Yeah.
We are asking users to power down their Galaxy Note 7S and exchange them as soon as possible. We're expediting replacement devices so they can be provided through the exchange program as conveniently as possible and in compliance with related regulations. We sincerely thank our customers for their understanding and patience. To get involved with the recall, Samsung is advising customers to return to the shop where they bought the device or get in touch with Samsung directly. If you've recently purchased a Galaxy Note 7, check the box to see if it has markings to confirm that it's a non-explosive device. If it lacks those markings on the label, return it. So I guess there's your answer.
Is the Galaxy, forgive me for not knowing, but it seems like there's a new phone every 2 days, so I can't keep track. Is this the new one that just came out a few weeks ago, or has this one been in existence for a while? I can't remember when the Galaxy 7 first came out.
I think this one is new.
This one is new.
Again, if your box has markings to confirm that it's a non-explosive device, it says you're okay.
Isn't it funny?
The other one says explosive device.
This is an explosive device phone.
And that's the one you exchange.
It doesn't say that, though.
No.
But it's so funny that they have to use those. I mean, it's come to that where they have to be reminded. Now, this is the phone that does not explode. Are you in the market for one that does not explode? Because this one does not explode.
I want to know if you get a phone instantly, because you're right. If I had to go exchange it and wait a week,
it would mess with people.
Totally. You, I would take the risk, I think.
You see those surveys. There's people who just, they'd rather give up anything than their phone. So to take your phone away from somebody for 3 or 4 days, it's the biggest punishment they can imagine.
Oh, poor six-year-old boy. What's a six-year-old have a phone for?
That does seem a little young.
I know they're getting them.
It does seem a little bit young,
younger.
But...
And I know when, you know, you're at the pediatrician's office or something, you see a lot of moms just give their
right.
2-year-old their iPhone to play with while, you know, keeps them busy. I'm telling you, the iPhones and the just portable phones have really made waiting in a doctor's office not quite so bad, because they've removed all those toys.
I know. And now it's just a kid on a phone.
Or an iPad.
Or an iPad.
But yeah, a 6-year-old boy got burned when a Samsung Galaxy Note 7 exploded in his hand.
Ugh. It's so unexpected. I mean, now, of course, there's warning, so it's not as unexpected, but that's the last thing in the world you would think your phone would do.
And it burned so much, it set off the smoke detectors in the house, and the whole phone is just like it
fried.
Was in a... Yeah.
Yeah.
On fire. It's not like it's going to smoke. It's not like the battery gets hot.
Right.
It explodes.
Yeah.
So be careful flying, everyone.
You know, they were comparing it with the hoverboard incidents of last year, where when, I guess those were being charged somehow. I don't know how hoverboards work, but you have to charge the battery on those, apparently.
Yeah, right? And they were exploding.
Yeah.
It's a great ride.
I guess.
Very exciting.
Wow. All right, we'll take a break. We'll talk to Bridget Carey from CNET and find out other news in the tech world, hopefully better than the one we just shared with you. So stick around. It's Bill Leffin. It's Wendy Snyder on WGN.
It's a Tech Tuesday. That's what that music means. And we have got CNET senior editor Bridget Carey on the line, host of the CNET Update. Bridget, we were just talking about the Galaxy explosions.
Oh, yeah.
somebody has just texted that they...
I'm glad this isn't an astronomy segment, because what you just said would scare the heck out of everybody listening. The galaxies keep exploding, Bridget. That's bad, right?
The Galaxy Note 7, we were wondering, this last account was a day ago, a six-year-old boy in New York was burned pretty badly. Someone has just texted saying, I have one. I kept using that phone until the second round of stories came out on Friday. I realized if it was my son, I wouldn't let him continue to use it, so I reactivated my old phone. As for getting a replacement, I bought mine from a Best Buy, and their website only asked for my email address so they could contact me when they get more phones. So now she's just waiting.
Hmm.
What if you don't have an old phone to reactivate?
Well, she's smart. No one should really be using it, because you just don't know if you have one of the bad batteries or what's going to happen. I would say go to a carrier and be very vocal in demand. Like, I know with Best Buy, that's a shame that they're not. I mean, I didn't know that they were making people wait, because you need a phone these days. It's like it's a utility, you know. But I would say also, I saw a report that Samsung is rolling out a software update to some countries, not confirmed if it's in the U.S. yet, that makes the battery not charge to 100%. It'll stop the battery from charging to 60%. I would like to see them bring that everywhere, because right now only that is in Korea. But I would like to see everyone have that software update soon, because if you're stuck and you need to still use your phone and you're taking these risks, that is one way that they're trying to, I guess, you know, help people out. But yeah, stop using it. You know, get a loaner, get an old one. You can always switch a SIM card that's like in your phone. You can take it out so you still have your phone number and just put it in another phone. I would go to a carrier and AT&T, Verizon, one of those guys, and say, what can you do for me? Even if I bought my phone at another place, what can you do for me?
Yeah, this is serious business. It really is. And we were talking about, if you're on an airplane, everybody has those portable chargers now. And the flight attendants are so busy getting everybody drinks that, you know, how are they going to check everybody?
My producer just went on a flight yesterday. She was on vacation, and someone was using a Samsung, and the flight attendant went up to them and said, excuse me, is that the Note 7? Because we can't have you using that. And they went, no. But the truth is, who is going to know what a Note 7 looks like unless you're a tech reporter? It looks like the same version as last year's model, too. But if you have a Samsung phone, don't be surprised if you start getting questions asked about you, suspicious looks from the people you're sitting next to, because now people are paranoid. I mean, even if it's just one model of phone and there's about a million out there that were sold, even just one model, no one's going to trust any Samsung phone.
Absolutely. And Bill had mentioned when he charges his Windows phone, and he's the only one in the world to have this type of phone.
Mm-hmm.
And same with my...
You're a special, unique bottle.
Thank you.
He said, what, you said it gets hot to touch.
It really does. Like, when you first start charging it, it's not bad, but if you leave it on for a couple of hours, when you touch it, it is hot to the touch. I'm very uncomfortable with that.
Oh, that is not good. It happens to sometimes even older iPhones. I think now so much is being packed into these apps. They're expecting you to, you know, have the newest phone, and it just is too much for some of the older phones to handle. I know it happens with my husband. He had an older phone from work, and his iPhone 5 is just always like extremely hot. Mm-hmm. I think that's one of the reasons.
My 6S still gets hot, and definitely the plug that you plug into the wall gets really hot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But to have the phone that hot, except in the winter months, I'll put it in my pocket and it feels nice.
All right.
I would say, in general, always, you know, like, just for everyone listening out there, lithium ion batteries are serious business.
Sure.
I mean, that's why when they had reports of those iPhones bending in people's pockets, they would explode, because if you break one of those batteries, it's a serious, you know, like they really can just catch fire instantly.
Yeah.
So,
is that what the iPhone has? The lithium battery? Don't all iPhones, or don't all portable phones have that?
Yeah, what I meant is, I remember a while ago, over a year ago, people used to say, oh, these iPhones are bending, and look, you can bend it. You never want to bend a battery, you know. So that was another issue back then. People were saying, don't bend, you know, just in general, don't play around with lithium-ion batteries, because they are extremely volatile.
How come Samsung is just experiencing the explosion issue then?
Because it had to do with how they were made. So these were made very poorly. You know, they're pumping these out so fast on the factory floor that a batch of them, and you don't know which ones, you know, but a batch of them went bad. If you get a replacement, or let's say you want to buy a Note 7, because let's be honest, they're going to be discounted, these refurbished fixed ones, you know. It's going to be a good deal for you. Look on the back for a big S on the information sticker, where it tells you the, you know, serial number. There's going to be a new S sticker on it. That means it's a good battery and they fixed it.
Oh.
So if you are looking for a replacement, that's how you know you have one that won't explode.
All right, good.
That's good to know. And big news, Bill, you'd like to call it EOS.
The EOS system, sure.
But yes, I was looking online, and today Apple is going to update to EOS 10. iOS 10, but what I think it happens at noon our time. Why is it this big event?
Okay, well, if you have an iPhone 5 or newer, you'll be able to upgrade to a new software, and the software, you're going to hear people buzzing about it, because not only does it have some neat tricks, but I think the one thing that most people are going to notice first is the messaging software. In iMessage, which is their, you know, default text message, they're throwing stickers in there. They're throwing animations in there. So you're texting your friends that also have, you know, iPhones. They're going to be sending you quirky, crazy animations and stuff, and you're going to want to see it too. So
Kevin is very excited about this. He's the king of the emoji. He's very excited about these animations.
There's even going to be, like, invisible ink messages you have to rub your finger on the screen to unveil. And, I mean, they're really taking on all of the quirky messaging apps, because everyone's now using Facebook Messenger. They're using WhatsApp. And, you know, they're not going to the default text message app. And so Apple wants you to stay within them. You can even pay people with Apple Pay. You can even send money to your friends inside of the text message. So that's going to be one of the big things. Also, Maps gets a boost. You want that. There's some shortcuts on the home screen. You can get to the camera faster by just swiping right and swipe left to other shortcuts. And you're going to have to really study up on all the little quirks, because there's no tutorial. So we had CNET made one, so you can always check that out if you want to find all the quirky things. But another good trick, Siri. Siri can be used as a command to get into other outside Apple apps. So you can say, Siri, send a message on WhatsApp to John. Tell him I'll be late. And that way you're not only using Siri for Apple, you can use Siri for other things too.
Bill used to have an imaginary assistant. What was his name?
Gerald.
What happened to him?
He passed away.
My condolences.
That's right.
But now we can all have a virtual assistant. If you can really just do that with your phone, it's going to make life much easier while you're driving, especially.
I'm waiting for when the Star Trek computer voice becomes a visual. I'm not joking. The Roddenberry Twitter account.
That's Majel Barrett, his wife, who did that voice.
Yes, and they said they have enough footage of her from all the Star Treks and all her work that they think that they can create a vocabulary from all her recordings to make it work. So I would love to see that happen.
That would be excellent.
If they can, and they want to see if they can put her voice in the new Star Trek show coming out.
Oh, that would be outstanding. So again, this new version is available today, the iOS 10, right? That's today.
Yeah. Okay.
And farmers,
just look at your phone.
If you're a farmer, you can get the iOS 10, right? You can upgrade to that.
And
nice. Thanks. Very nice.
Bridget, this will be a pop-up because the last update, which was 9.3.5, I think, you actually had to seek out. There was no banner that said an update is available.
You can find it in your settings, that little gear icon. By the end of the day, you should see something that tells you to upgrade. I always like to wait till the end of the day. I don't want to be the very, very first, because you always hear about some little quirks. Yeah, so I like to not be the guinea pig. I like to let my friends be the guinea pig, and then I do it in the evening.
There was recently a Windows update, which my youngest son, Dylan, he's 13, and he told me, ask Bridget about this, because he upgraded, and he said, I know she says to wait a little while, but he didn't, and his computer keeps crashing and stuff. Is a fix going to come out for that?
Not good. What was crashing? His Mac? Oh, my gosh.
He's got a Windows and was playing.
Windows.
Yeah, and he was having trouble getting on things after he updated the latest Windows update.
Can I be honest? I have a Windows computer here, too, my husband uses, and it's now acting a little strange, too. I think I'm disappointed in how Microsoft is handling things. I mean, they have an opportunity to really show everyone that they're doing it right for once, and they're still, pushing out software that isn't perfect. They're going to probably pay for that if this keeps up. So I hear you. I hear my husband complaining. There's everyone kind of has these mutterings every once in a while that things aren't perfect. I would suggest calling up Microsoft, seeing what they can do. I like to be vocal. I like to let them know when something goes wrong, so maybe they can offer something in return. But it's hard when you have so much software on your computer that they don't know what might be causing the conflict.
Oh God, I'm sick of computers. I'm going back to the abacus.
Good for you. It's about time.
Thank you, Bridget.
Thanks. Take
Bye,
care.
Bridget. Have a great week. That's Bridget Carey from CNET. She's the host or hostess of the CNET Daily Update right there on CNET. We'll take a quick break and then some news from Steve, Bill, and Wendy, WGN.
Bill, would you mind very much if we took this conversation on the air with the lovely Robin Baumgarten?
I guess it'll be all right. I just worry about the language.
Yeah.
That's what my fear is,
Robin. I work
Robin.
Blue a lot.
You're like the Lenny Bruce of local news.
How the heck are you, Robin?
It is so good to see you guys. I'm face to face.
How about that?
I know.
How about that?
Oh, God, this reminds me of the old Loop days, Wendy.
Yeah,
I know.
Right? God, when I started doing traffic at the Loop, Wendy, were you doing overnights
on the FM?
On the FM, DJing radio.
Spinning the tunes, and you were on with Johnny B.
Yeah.
And then you went in the helicopter, which scared me when you made that jump.
Yeah, it scared me too. I don't prefer not to think about it now. When you're young, and
when
you
they
don't think
offered
about
you that though, they said, "Here's your next move.
Yeah,
you'll be in the helicopter every morning doing traffic." Did you say yes right away, or did you think about it for a little bit?
Well, when you're working in the traffic world, you're making peanuts, and then it's all of a sudden they're like, "Well, even if it's a little bit more," you're like, "Sure," because you're used to making $12,000 a year, so it's like, "Sure, I'll do that," and then you're like, "Okay, yeah, sure, I can do this."
Ever any near misses? Was there ever any incidents? Good.
The pilots were great, but it's like when you're young and you don't think about.
You're not scared
of anything. I mean, once I had kids, I thought about it more, even though it's still perfectly safe. The pilots are still great. I just don't know if I could do it now, for sure.
You become a big baby when you grow up.
Terrible.
But your hero was always Flying Ed Peterson. I know you always used to talk about how much of a hero he was to you.
I hate to say that I'm too young to know,
who,
know
that
who that
is. I don't know who that is.
I'm too young for a Bill Leff reference.
He would come on when I was a kid on Ray Rayner's show. They would cut to Flying Ed Peterson, who was up in a helicopter, and you just hear that, there's no problems on the outbound, but there's problems on the inbound.
I remember Ring Rainer. Yeah. I don't remember that part.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
No, that was 1,000 years ago.
Easier for men to hit themselves in the chest.
Yeah, that
too.
Hurts.
I'm having angina right now, to be honest with you. Sorry for my language.
It's so great to be here in the window studio. We're locked in that big metal contraption and cedar block on the northwest side.
But how? But the story of that building, the history of that building, don't you walk in there every day and just go, wow, what this building has seen?
Well, the funny thing is, I think I have a picture of me when I was on Bozo Circus, and I wasn't, you know, of course, we don't have a picture that's clear of me with Bozo. Those are all blurry and my heads are cut off. But there's a clear picture in the cafeteria, and it's the exact same wallpaper.
Really?
By the vending machines.
Oh. Is it really?
From 1974 as it is now. Oh, yeah. Well, they just recently redid it, like in the last 6 months. But up until then, you could match the wallpaper. So it's all exactly the same, Bill.
They haven't changed it at
Not
all.
Not a thing.
I can't believe you went to see Bozo Circus, too. Am I the only one in Chicago who never got to go to Bozo Circus?
Your tickets are coming. They're almost they're almost here, Wendy. Don't panic. When you went into that studio, when you saw Bozo Circus live for the first time, didn't you think, well, this can't be, because on television it's 20 times the size of
this.
Oh,
yeah. And people still, when they come in the studio, you can't believe it's not a big room.
Yeah.
It was four rows of bleachers and everything was all jammed in. But
do you know why? I think it's because they would say at the beginning, and a cast of thousands. And as a kid, you went, well, there must be thousands of people.
Right.
Yeah, they said thousands,
right.
But no, it's really small.
Little did we know it was just the thousands of people waiting in the hallway to get in the studio. And literally up until just about a couple of years ago, they still had those big box TVs hanging on those metal contraptions.
Oh, yeah.
So when you were waiting in line, and they hadn't been in use forever, but they're just kind of dangling there waiting to drop.
To fall on somebody's head.
So it's said since 1975. But it's like, it's great. It's a lot of history, Bill. Yes,
history.
You're right.
Yeah.
All right, we were talking about when you left Brandmeier's show and went into the helicopter and did traffic, and then lo and behold, here you are on the WGN Morning News. How many years have you been doing it?
It's like 21 years.
Oh my
on
God!
WGN Morning News, taking into account the traffic and anchoring and doing all that, but it's been a long, frightening.
It is.
My voice is cracking.
Best show. That's okay. Bill's will too. It is the best show on television.
Get out of here!
No, it is.
And I mean, I can't. I got to be honest with you. I can't believe that you've gotten away with all this stuff for so long. It is so genuine, yet you get real news. It's so awesome.
I think we just got lucky that we were all so young when we started. And in the beginning, they didn't really know what to do. They're like, all right, we'll give it a few years. No one's paying attention. And that's the best case scenario. So they let us
Isn't that amazing?
Get in a groove and get used to things. And then after a while, they're like, well, it seems to be working. I guess we'll leave
Number
it
one
be.
Morning show.
You guys beat Good Morning America regularly. You beat the Today Show regularly, the regular version, and then the alcoholic thing they do at the end. honestly, every ratings period, you guys are way up on top.
We've been very lucky.
And Channel 2 just runs old Gidget reruns. They don't even run news anymore.
They've tried. No Gidget. One can hold a torch to you guys.
It's been a great run. Thank God.
Yeah.
Thank God. And it's, you know, I feel so lucky having come from Brandmeier's show and then to be with another great group of people, because I still love those days of not showering before I went to work, Wendy.
I know.
Working in the middle of the night with Brandmeier and Buzz.
We got, you know, that's why it was nice to be in radio. I hate that these cameras are in here now.
Oh, are we on? Are you seriously?
Yeah.
I should have told you.
No.
It's closed circuit television.
I've been like scratching this itch I'm sorry.
That's fine. But that's what, whenever they do these tests where they go, what do you like about this? What do you like about that? The thing that everyone likes about you is you're everybody's neighbor. You're everybody's friend. Everybody knows you. And that's such a positive.
Everyone's kind of a little off neighbor.
Yeah.
I guess so. Well, if that's what they say, then that's a great compliment.
But
you
don't seem like an ultra polished news person. You just seem like,
ouch.
Oh, I know that girl who's doing the news there.
Thanks a lot, Bill.
I know. That was
really
kind of
hard.
That's a compliment.
Maybe you missed my pronunciation of Thailand the other day.
Did you say Thailand?
I worked very hard on.
Thailand is a health club.
What's a girl got to do? Seriously, we all have moments that Larry and I and Paul all talk about that it's like, do you remember when you said Thailand? Do you remember when, like, Larry was reading a story and he said Jammed rifles instead of jammed rifle? You know what I mean? It's like, what? And we're looking at each other like, what did you just say? And you can't say anything until after it's done because it's a serious story.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
I don't know how you guys do it, because you just turn corners so quickly where you're doing something goofy with Hoover or Mike Toomey, and then it's legit news.
Right.
And I mean,
yeah,
it's tough.
It's it is tough, but it's, you know what, it's, you get kind of in a groove when real news is happening. That's what people want to hear.
Yep.
So, I mean, I thank God for the people I work with, because Larry can get in the lane pretty quickly.
So good.
And
everybody there is so good. All right. So this is a little personal, but when Roseanne Talese was the other host.
It's Taez.
Taez. Is that how you say it?
That's like my pronunciation. Yeah. Well done.
Was it Taez? All right. So she was the other host for quite a while, and you were doing traffic.
Right.
And then she decides to go over to Channel 2.
Right.
All right. What was that process like? Because there were a couple of names mentioned as potential co-hosts, and you nailed it. You got it. But was that a shock for you to just go in all of a sudden and go, that's the co-host job?
My secret strategy, being on maternity leave, not being on the air, and they couldn't see how bad I would be.
Oh.
I was on maternity leave.
Good.
And it was, you know, so all this was going on and I didn't know. And then when she left, they're like, I was, you know, I had a couple more weeks of maternity. They're like, why don't you stay home one more week and then we'll see if we'll bring you in. And I'm like, fantastic.
Wow.
So it was the best.
Wow.
The best.
I'm going to have another baby.
I know.
Got to have another baby. It's good for
you.
Maybe
my timing will be better.
You'll be running this place.
Yeah, so I was pretty far removed from that, but I miss Roseanne every day. She is just one of my favorite people in the business. I don't know if you've had a chance to meet her, but she's awesome.
Wonderful, and I loved Randy Salerno.
Oh, God. Yeah.
He's such a sweet guy.
Going back, and since it's been, you know, we just did our 20th anniversary not too long ago of the show, and, you know, for this primetime special, we're looking at old pictures and stuff, and I still miss him. He was just the funniest guy.
He was a great guy.
And great reporter, too.
Yeah.
But, oh, so sad.
What's this primetime special you speak of? I haven't
heard
a thing
about
it.
Say something about it,
Can
please.
We take a break first and then find out about it?
I have nothing to do.
All right.
See a scratch.
Stick Robin's here. She's scratching. That's why we invited her. If you have any questions or comments or want to come into the studio and watch her scratch, 981-7200, Spill and Wendy, WGN.
Speaking of WGN-TV, the pride and joy of the morning news show, Robin Baumgarten, in the studio.
You are both the pride and the joy, Robin. Both.
That's what my parents tell me every day.
They're right.
Every day.
Parents don't lie. They don't lie. This primetime special is a very exciting venture. What exactly will go on?
Well, it's one of those things where they realized, oh, we're not going to have the CW anymore after September 1st. And we got about a month to fill before we figure it. So they're like, well, you guys are here. Why don't you do that Wednesday night in the middle of September from 7 to 9? So that was born.
Oh.
This great idea that has been hatched in the last 30 days.
Oh.
And it's going to be lovely television for a two-hour showcase. We actually have Mike Ditka coming in.
Oh, that'll be fun.
We have Scottie Pippen.
Yeah.
We have Frank Caliendo. And Gilbert Gottfried. So
great.
We actually have some pretty nice guests coming in, which is not typical for our morning show.
Yeah.
You know, everyone usually cancels at the last minute, air quotes. We're sick.
Oh. And
get a lot of that.
Acrobatic Cats, I heard Dean mention today,
yeah,
too.
It's a big one. Yeah.
Because Ditka said he wouldn't do the show unless they're Acrobatic
unless
Cats.
Unless they get a gig, too.
He's
you know?
Weird like that.
So I guess the idea is to give people kind of a taste of what we do in the morning. Kind of without the news, we'll have some trending things, but obviously if news breaks, we'll have it. But it's more like our 9 o'clock hour is, with more guests and more having fun. And I don't know, it'll be interesting to see if Larry and I and Paul and I actually have enough to say to each other when there's not news in between, because you know, you worked with each other long enough, you're like, all right, I've officially run out of things to say.
I hear there will be singing.
There will be some, we might have an actual band there, but I mean, I don't know if I'll get called in if someone cancels. That might actually happen. That usually does happen if I have to step up and do something. But
You are such a good sport.
Oh,
you
Can
really
I recommend
are, Robin.
Bob Trendler and the Big Top Band.
Ooh,
they're available.
Never heard
And they
of
know
them.
The building. That was Bozo's house band. You could get them, and they know the area. Are you looking forward to this? You must be looking forward to this.
You know what? I am, because tomorrow I'm not going to be on the morning show, and we'll just be on in the evening.
Oh.
So
that would have been such a quick turnaround.
Right. So we thought we were going to have to do both, but I don't know. They realized that we'd have to,
is
they'd
everyone
have to pay
taking
us
the
twice
day off?
Or something.
Yeah, they don't want to pay
no,
us
the
twice.
Morning, I think the early morning crew will be doing the morning show, and then we'll be in. It'll be interesting to see what Larry and Paul look like, on a decent night's sleep, and if they look more attractive. I don't know. Maybe I will actually look like I don't want to, you know, kill somebody. It'll be interesting to see evening Larry or evening Paul. So I'm tuning in for that.
If this takes off, and it will, do you think they'll say to you, "We'll do this more often. We'll do this a couple times a month." Would you be up for that or not?
Sure.
Why not?
Robin's up for anything once.
Yeah. I'll do anything once, yeah. Bill. Right. So we'll see how this goes, but it's like, sure, I'm sure it'll be syndicated any day. They're
going to
be calling us like crazy. That's how things go for us.
This will show in other parts of the country, right? This isn't just Chicago, is it, or is it?
Boy, that's information I should probably know. Is it on everywhere?
I would think, because WGN America, which is will be running it, that's still national.
Let's say yes.
Let's say yes.
I like your answer.
I know sure it'll be streaming live on WGNTV.com/something-something.
All right. What about on the Al Jazeera network? Will it run on there at all?
I don't know. It might. It might be everywhere. I'm sure it's gonna go gangbusters across the country. It should be fun.
Good.
It should be fun.
A lot of texts coming in. Robin, you make all of us from Queen of Peace proud.
Oh, Queen of Peace. Alma mater.
Yep.
South Side.
I love Robin and all. You always put a smile on everyone's face. Thank you.
Oh, isn't that nice?
I'm telling you, everybody
is that my
loves
mother?
You guys.
Yeah, your mom
says
that.
She doesn't know how to text.
Love you and the gang, Robin. Who's the biggest diva out of all of you?
Paul Conrad.
Is he Paul? Yeah.
Oh, he's terrible.
Why
I mean,
is he
you have
like
to
that?
Buff his head every day. The bald head has to be buffed just a certain way, certain under eye makeup. And if his beard is growing out to, you know, grizzly bear lengths. We have to have it trimmed with the certain trimmers. He's awful. He's
Why
just awful.
Why did I see a picture of him wearing lederhosen German garb as a small boy? Did they dress him like that as a small boy?
He actually was in a traveling family band with his family. He's one of seven kids, and they did like the Von Trapp type of thing and went to fairs and festivals. He doesn't like to talk about it very much.
I can see why he wouldn't.
Isn't
like
that crazy?
The German Partridge Family.
Right.
I saw a picture of him like that a while ago and I thought, well, they somehow photoshopped it to make it look like he was in The Sound of Music, but then I saw more pictures and I go, no, he really did that.
They really did that. He doesn't. It's he doesn't like to talk about it too much. I don't
that
know.
How long did he do it? Like into his teen years?
It was a little too long, is all I know.
Was that the demo tape that he sent in to get the job on GM?
It might have been like he's 19 or something. I don't know. Maybe it was going a little too long, and then he just said, well, we're done. It was good while it lasted. I love you, fam. And I don't know. But in certain circles, I'm sure they've heard of the Conrad Family Singers. I wasn't at any of those festivals.
Did they go on without him, or did they? He broke up the band. He was the Yoko Ono of the...
He was 5 of 7. In the rundown of the family. So I don't, they had a couple of stragglers at the bottom. Maybe they kept it going for a while. I don't know.
I heard that Sammy Hagar replaced him when he left. Sammy Hagar fill in.
Those are the best years.
Yes.
The Van Hagar Family Singers. Those are my favorite. My favorite.
They're so good.
Yeah. So he's actually a pretty good singer. He won't let on.
Is he really?
On.
Yeah.
And surprisingly fleet of foot. He can run like the wind.
Really?
Oh.
Two things you won't know about him.
Oh my gosh.
He's a diva. He runs like the wind, and he could sing like a bird.
What else do you want from a guy?
Will we find out more in this primetime special about each and every one of them? I sure hope so.
Yeah, well, it's so great to see you guys.
Great to see you.
Thanks for letting me come in.
The special is going to be great, but honestly, on a daily basis, you guys put out the best locally done show that I could ever imagine in
Chicago.
Back
at you. I love listening to you guys on the way home. So
thank you. Every time Bill's on vacation, I always ask you to come in and co-host, and you're too tired.
Well, the problem is I'm good now until about noon, and then I'd be falling asleep on the console. So if you don't mind me sleeping through the second half of the show, I'm all yours.
How about the first half? You can do the first half.
Sure.
All right.
Sign me up.
Excellent. We got it on tape. Robin Baumgarten will be in. Are you taking any vacation the rest of the year? What about tomorrow?
I'll take tomorrow off. Come on in. Yeah.
No, busy tomorrow, but sure.
Primetime special.
Yes.
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock to 9 o'clock tomorrow night. So thanks so much, guys.
Great to see you, Robin.
Good to
thanks
see you
a lot.
Both.
It's Robin Baumgarten. We'll take a quick break and then some news. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Somebody told me you wrote the lyrics to this song. Is that true?
Boob in it. I thought you wrote it.
Not me. That would be disrespectful.
Today's Google Doodle is this woman.
When you go on Google from time to time, there will be a little animated storyline, and they show Ema Sumac, whose music you're listening to now. It is her birthday.
She can sing 5 octaves. Listen to this.
Listen to this. Oh, my glasses just cracked.
Just wait. Isn't this happy?
You know, it's happy and mysterious all at once. Isn't it? Much like Peru.
She is
native
a
land.
Peruvian woman. The Google Doodle celebrates Peruvian songbird Ima Sumac, who would have been 94 years old today.
Wow.
Wait, hang on.
Listen to how beautiful the lyrics are.
You wrote those lyrics.
I did write those. I did.
A star was born on September 13th, 1922. Ima Sumac, whose vocal range astounded music lovers the world over.
Oh.
Google marked what would have been the singer's 94th birthday today, a new doodle in her honor.
Mm-hmm. Somebody stepped on her foot during this part of the song.
Dance with me, Freddie.
How could you not dance when you hear this music? If you play this at the wedding, Kevin, I might dance at the reception. I might.
I just love that song.
All of her music, I don't know how much of her music you've heard, but all of it, it doesn't always have that beat that you just heard, but it's all got an air of mystery to it. Everything she ever did.
Here, let's hear another one.
Very exotic.
Oh, I hate these ads.
Play, even the ads are great. Play the ads. Listen
Takirari.
To this.
Takirari.
What is this called?
Takirari.
Takirari. Like, how do you think of that? Like, how do you go, all right, after the part with the crazy music, I'll just jump in and I'll go. Boop, 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 boop. This is beautiful.
That's a pretty amazing. Listen to this. I know Minnie Riperton also was able to sing many octaves.
Right.
And the famous daughter of Minnie Riperton.
Well, Maya Rudolph is her daughter. Yeah.
So this is Ima Sumac is not a real name.
What?
And it's Y-M-A.
Yeah, that's how you spell Ima. Ima.
It's Amy
Ima.
Backwards.
Yeah, it is.
She was born Zoila Augusta Imperatriz Chavari del Castillo.
So you couldn't keep that name because the show'd be over. As soon as they introduced you, everybody'd go, you know, it's 10 o'clock. We got to work tomorrow, so.
Ima grew up in the mountains of Peru, where she would sing to her surroundings and pretend she was performing for an audience. Mountains make great audience members, by the way.
I wonder if the neighbors called the police, thinking she was being attacked.
It would sound like
I
that.
Know.
She got her big break as a teenager when she was invited to sing on an Argentine radio station. Listeners were immediately floored by her incredible vocal range. She was known to hit at least 5 octaves.
Wow.
At least.
That's impressive.
Ima moved to the U.S. in 1946, where she was quickly signed by Capitol Records, which to me seems like a very weird signing.
Doesn't it? Yeah, Capitol Records, I don't know. I mean, I know that they're going for a little bit of everything, but nobody sounds like her.
Oh, I know. Wait, here's more.
To the Bat Poles.
It is very Batman-esque.
It sounds like the theme from Batman.
Wait till it kicks in, because it sounds more like
it. Does it? Yeah.
I bet they stole it from this.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Nope.
She reached...
You might have to translate, Wendy.
Oh, my bamba.
Oh. Yikes.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes. It's operatic.
She graced the stages of Carnegie Hall in the 50s, the Hollywood Bowl, London's Royal Albert Hall.
I wonder if somebody came up today with this sort of sound, if they would be as embraced as Ima Sumac was, or if people would just run in terror because they didn't know what to make of it. But I just wonder, because it's such a different sound. It's got big band in it. It's got a little bit of everything.
Haven't they had a few opera singers, though, on America's Got Talent?
Yeah.
They've gotten pretty far.
Yeah, it was Susan Boyle, right?
And there was a little girl who...
Yes,
I
know who that
is. But this is amazing.
Have you heard her before, Ken?
No.
Isn't it? It's mysterious, isn't it? Yeah.
During the time that she was playing at all these elite venues in the 50s, she was known for wearing striking, flamboyant costumes and ornate jewelry, liking her to the Incan royalty from which she is sometimes said to have been a descendant.
Yep, I could see that.
Ima Sumac passed away in 2008 in Los Angeles, California, but her voice will long be remembered. The Google Doodle today.
Her sister, Wendy, Poison Sumac, also had quite a career for a long time.
Is there Poison Ivy, too?
Yes. That was her stunt double.
I don't know if we heard this one. I have to hear one more.
All right.
Because it's pretty amazing, although nothing
doesn't
tickles...
this make you want to get a CD and just put it in your car and just ride around? I would love to have this as a background.
Yes, this is Bo Mambo. This is a little Batman-esque, too.
Yeah? Yeah? Yeah, the horns.
Maybe this is the same one.
This is great.
But nothing tickles my fancy as much as her original composition called Jungala.
Is that what you started with? Yeah, listen to how great this is. Don't you want to go on a safari when you hear this?
Yes, with a beautiful woman.
Yes.
Or maybe a man, because she sounds like a man there.
I'll be honest, the first time I heard this, I thought this was a man.
I think we should use this for our show open.
It's the lyrics that speak to us.
Because I have boobs and you are a boob.
It'd also be good for Matt Bubala.
He can't have it. Poor Matt Bubala. He can listen to this on Friday next week when we're at Kevin's wedding.
They should play this at Hooters. When you go into Hooters, they should play this.
All right, well, happy 94th birthday to Ema Sumac. We just wanted to share.
Did you get her a gift? I got her a gift.
No.
Oh.
What'd right. you get her?
I'll put your name on whatever I got her. I don't know. Just a mystery gift. Because her music is so mysterious.
It is.
I wanted to keep in the same style. All right, we'll take a quick break and then a lot more show. Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Babu, babu, baba.
You know there will be a scene where Thomas Jefferson and Ema Sumac sing together. That's what made them both famous.
These are actually words.
Most of her songs are just kind of noises, but this song has lyrics. This is the song I always ask musicians to play whenever I'm in a Peruvian restaurant. I always say, could you play this song? And it's not as good.
All right, I'm done with Ema Sumac.
Isn't that beautiful music,
though? It honestly
so
is
pretty.
Mesmerizing.
Yep.
I just want to keep playing it for the rest of the afternoon.
Yep.
But we can't because coming up in the second half, we have a great guest at 1:35.
Mm-hmm.
Journalist Mike Leonard will be here. He was here when you were on vacation, and he was here with Bruce Rauner's wife.
Mm-hmm.
And they were talking about a benefit that was coming up, and we didn't really have a chance to speak to him about his amazing things in his journalistic career and just kind of quirky things.
Yeah, and he has something. I don't want to give too much away, but he has something in his backyard, something that he built. He told me about this years ago that I want to see so badly. It's weird to just say to a guest, can I come to your house? But he told me this years ago, what he has in his backyard. I don't want to give it away yet. He will later on when he's here at 1:35. But never before have I said, can I just come by and see what you have there?
Didn't you have a kid in the neighborhood who had a pool that you said that to all the time?
Yeah. Larry Konechna. He had a pool. Did you ever see something like, if you go to any of the pages where it's like all your news headlines, and this can be CNN.com, this can be the Huffington Post, this can be MSN,
BuzzFeed, Yahoo News.
It's just all the biggest stories of the day. Well, every one of them yesterday mentioned that the special is back at Olive Garden. And I said to myself, well, obviously Olive Garden is paying to have that placement because there can't be that big of a news story going on with an Olive Garden special that would warrant it being at the headlines page of every major news source.
You're just figuring this out?
It turns out I'm wrong.
All you can eat is a big deal.
This is exactly what it is. They did this thing a couple of years ago where they have a thing called the never-ending pasta pass. So, Jay Cutler, you're not eligible. Here's what happens. You buy a pass from Olive Garden. Now, last time they had an extremely limited number. They've upped the number a little bit. And what happens is when you go to Olive Garden, and you can go there every day, you can go there three meals a day, you can go for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. When you're there, your family. That's what they say when you get
familia.
You get for $100, you get this pass. It's like the golden ticket from Willy Wonka. And you get for $100, you get unlimited pasta bowls, unlimited Coca-Cola products, all you can eat every day, three meals a day, stop by anytime you want. That's for 7 weeks for $100.
Well, but, if you like Olive Garden, it's worth it.
Right. If you don't, this would be, I would think, a terrible waste of money. But the fact that this made, like, honestly, go to any news source yesterday and today, it's way up there with what's going on in the world.
Now, that company also owns Red Lobster. Why don't they do it with Red Lobster?
I think
pasta's way cheaper than lobster.
Yeah,
I think it already sold out, though, Bill.
Yeah, they only...
Didn't they sell it? Like, there were 21,000 of them. They sold out already?
God, it's like Lollapalooza of pasta. Pasta-palooza.
It says, Olive Garden is saying that all 2,000 of the passes that were offered in 2015, they offered 2,000 of them, they all sold out in a second. Like, they announced this, and 1 second later, all 2,000 were sold out. So as Kim pointed out, this year they said, let's make it an even bigger deal. So now they're offering 21,000. They'll be selling them for an hour.
So it's done. Kim said it's sold out.
It is already sold out,
Kim?
Yeah,
I saw that it was sold out.
All right, I printed this earlier today, so I'm sure that within that time, you've missed your chance.
Well, no, wait, it couldn't. Did it... Wait, does it start Thursday? Maybe I saw that.
Oh, is it Thursday? All right, so there's still a chance.
Yeah, I'm looking at an article here. It looks says the 1 hour online sale will start Thursday at 2 Eastern.
2 Eastern, so what is that? 3 here? 1 here?
1 o'clock
here. So get your mouse ready in one hand and your fork ready in the other.
And do you buy it for the whole family? Because if you're just buying it for yourself.
I don't think you can buy more than one. I think you have to buy it for yourself. I don't think there's nothing in here that says that, but I think last time they made a point of saying one per customer, that you can't load up on these.
Load up on carbs?
Right, literally as can be. Because then people would turn around, maybe they already did this last time, and sell it on eBay. Cause for
$101.
Yeah, think of the profit. But think about it. If you've got it in your mindset to go there extremely often over 7 weeks, you could buy $1,500 or $2,000 worth of pasta in that time, couldn't you?
I don't think so.
When it says last year, the average owner of a pass ate at Olive Garden 1 in 5 meals.
Oh, my God. Over 7 weeks.
Their menu's not that big. When you get sick of it?
And I don't think it includes everything because it says this year chicken Alfredo is included.
Oh.
So you may not have gotten chicken Alfredo as a choice last year.
But
and
now
you get
do.
The unlimited breadsticks and the
salad and soft drinks and all that.
Right. Huh. Is salad part of it, Kim?
Yes. It's soft drinks, salad, and breadsticks.
Right. For those health conscious people who are gluttonizing themselves. You also get some salad.
Why doesn't every place do this? If it's something you really like, and I'm not slamming Olive Garden, I've been. It's good.
Right.
There are a lot of different Italian restaurants that I'd probably go to before that.
Can I tell you, in the history of my life, the one commercial that made me laugh the hardest of all was an Olive Garden commercial, and here's why it did. I don't know if you'll remember this commercial. This is about maybe 8 or 10 years old. There's a guy, and he's eating in an Olive Garden with a family that looks stereotypically Italian. And he goes, relatives of mine are in from Italy, and I wanted to take them to a place.
You're right.
That reminded them
I know
of Italy.
Exactly what you're talking about.
So I took them to Olive Garden. Now,
in all fairness,
I've not been to Italy. But my guess is there's probably more authentic restaurants with the Italian flavor than Olive Garden if you're trying to impress them and make them think of home. I'm thinking maybe.
I mean, typically, the pizza that we have here, or traditionally, the pizza we have here is nothing like what it is in Italy anyway.
It's Americanized,
so, take them to Lou Malnati's too.
But I just wish they would have shown the stereotypical Italian looking people looking at each other like.
He's crazy.
This season the most accurate. Okay, we eat. Keep eating, keep eating.
Well, they should do this with all the restaurants because I would do it for Red Lobster.
Unlimited pass at Red Lobster.
The Shrimp Fest is like my favorite. They have the best shrimp scampi and those Cheddar Bay biscuits.
But they couldn't do it for $100. Like if they tried this at Red Lobster, it would have to be considerably more because
I'd pay $500.
$500 seems in line.
I get 7 weeks to go. I'd be rolling in here.
Wow, wouldn't that be something?
Yeah, no, I'd have shrimp tails in my shoes.
Oh my gosh, it's a dream. All right, stick around. Kim has the news in just a little bit. Also, Steve Bertrand will be by to tell us what's on the Wintrust Business Lunch. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Kim, thanks. Hi, everybody. It's Bill Leffen. It's Wendy Snyder. It's part two of our show. Contribute all you like. 312-981-7200. Are you okay? There's been a lot of groaning and moaning on your behalf.
No, I'm just,
are you just right?
Having a hot flash.
Is that what it is?
I don't know what happened, but I thought it was much cooler today than it is.
Yeah.
It's hot out there.
It's a little bit hot,
I'm
sure.
So ready for fall. You're not yet?
No. I would like 6 more months of summer, please. Keep it coming. Keep the summer coming, I say.
You may want to consider summer. Florida.
Yeah, it gets hot in Florida, and it stays hot for centuries at a time.
Yeah, but the humidity there is almost unbearable.
Yeah, it is. But for some reason, I seem to be okay in it. I don't know what it is. I like extreme hot over extreme cold.
Well, given the option.
Yeah. But like this, I could take this forever if the weather was like this.
It's
be
beautiful,
fine.
But I need a little cool breeze.
I'm ready for sweaters and boots.
Yeah?
Yeah, I am kind
of. Here's the reason I bring it up. You know, you have said in the past that you're something of a hypochondriac, right?
Something.
Yeah. The poster child for hypochondria?
I know Rokhan says he's a hypochondriac, but
I've known you a long time, and I know that
you've been doing it longer.
For a long
and
time.
And better.
Yes, yes.
Now I go into doctor's offices, and they say to me, what's the prognosis? And I tell them,
you?
And I'm usually right.
I have another illness for you to be worried about.
Oh, good golly.
I don't know how this is possible. I read this story over the weekend, and I can't figure out for the life of me how something like this could be. But there are two brothers in Pakistan who become paralyzed each night when the sun goes down.
What?
I don't understand that. I'll tell you the whole story. I read this, and then I had to double-check it to see if this could possibly be real, because it sounds like one of those things where they go, aha, you believed us. But no, this is real. Two brothers have come to be known as the Solar Kids. Their case is mystifying Pakistani doctors. They're aged 9 and 13. The boys are normal, active children during the day. But once the sun goes down, they both lapse into a vegetative state. They are unable to move. They are unable to talk.
God, when
every night.
When I was raising the kids when they were younger, I wish this would have
happened.
Wouldn't
that have been a nicer option?
Would have made things much easier at night.
You would have just looked at your watch all day. Oh, 2 hours and 9 more minutes.
Yeah.
Almost there.
It's quitting time.
I know when the sun goes down, that affects Alzheimer's patients. They get worse. It's called sundowning.
I've
mother-in-law
heard of that.
Had it. So
yeah.
Really?
Is it something similar to that?
They don't know.
Although paralyzed, that's
yeah. extreme, isn't it?
All right, really I don't wish my extreme. Kids would have had that.
Javed Akram, a professor of medicine at the Pakistan Institute of Medical Sciences, told the Associated Press on Thursday that he has, and I quote, no idea what could possibly be causing these symptoms. We took this case
that's
as
a, reassuring.
I know.
Hey, let's take the kids to the doctor.
This is where you want a second opinion. This is an exact case of where you might want to look into another opinion. We took this case as a challenge, he said. Our doctors are doing medical tests to determine why these kids remain active in the day, but they cannot open their eyes, why they cannot talk or eat when the sun goes down, he said. Akram said that the government was providing free medical care to the siblings who come from an impoverished family. The brothers are undergoing extensive medical testing in the capital, that's Islamabad, and the samples of their blood have been sent to overseas specialists for further examination. Researchers are also collecting soil and air samples from the family's home. Could
this
it be
weird.
Those things? That it's. I mean, obviously, I don't know anything about it. This guy's a professional, but it just seems unlikely.
Wouldn't it be great if you solved the medical mystery?
I'm not going to rest until I solve this mystery. They get paralyzed every day. It's like what happens to me when I watch Windy City Live. Mohammed Hashem,
get it in, don't you?
The
I'm
father,
you don't do it more often.
The father of the two brothers comes from a village near Quetta, the capital of southwestern province. He and his wife are first cousins.
All right, well, that might be a problem.
I wonder if that could
a genetic mutation.
Don't you think that
yeah.
could have something to do with this?
Although it's still a bizarre genetic mutation to cause them. You know what? Is one of them a vampire?
It doesn't say that.
I'd be the opposite,
let me,
though. You'd become more active.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It would be the exact opposite. His simple theory is this. I think my sons get energy from the sun. He's right.
That's why they're called sons.
He's right. Well, yeah. But doctors have already dismissed the idea that sunlight plays a role in this, noting that the boys can move during the day, even when kept in a dark room or during a rainforest. During a rainstorm, I'm sorry.
What?
The Rainforest Cafe,
is that where they go for lunch?
Yeah,
one in Pakistan?
They love that chocolate thunder from down under. They love it. Wouldn't you need to take these kids to other places to see if this works in other... Like, the first test I would be is I'd say to the boys, we're going somewhere else.
Right.
And then see if they react similarly in other places, right?
Because think maybe they have, like, a gas leak in their house or something, and children would be more susceptible than adults.
But if they had a gas... Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, maybe,
maybe
the thermostat goes on or off at when the sun goes down. And
maybe.
Because that... Something's weird.
Something's very weird. During the day, 13-year-old Shaib Ahmed and his brother Abdul Rashid did indeed seem normally active and energetic and cheerful as they emerged from their hospital room on Friday and then walked to a nearby canteen to have tea. I will become a teacher, Shoaib Ahmed told the Associated Press, while his younger brother said he wants to be an Islamic scholar.
That's a perfect job because you teach during the day and then
at night you lay down. This is a mystery. I don't understand what could possibly be doing it. Almost any condition you would think that they would suffer, their parents would also suffer. I guess there's a way because they're smaller that they can't process something, but I can't. It doesn't make any sense to me.
I think between you and listener Sandy, we are going to solve this dilemma. Dr. Sandy, how are you?
Oh, good, good. Now I have to change this because now I heard you say that the sun really doesn't play a part.
Well, that's what they don't know for sure.
Say that again, Dr. Sandy.
Originally, I was going to say try heat lamps, see if that makes your body react differently.
Oh, that's a good idea, too.
They have those light boxes for people with the seasonal affective disorder.
Right, sure.
So, or I think they should take them to Alaska when they have, like, sunlight all the time.
Oh, right.
80 days in the summer.
Yeah, see if they're affected by that.
I think you've solved it.
So the problem is this family, the family's broke. So you like normally you'd say, hey, here's an experiment. Take them here for a couple of days. Take them here for a couple of days. But you can't. Cause
why
they
don't you volunteer?
I can't. It's Tennessee.
Well, they could always, you know, come up with one of those, like, B pages, you know. Look at how much money the guy got for beer.
Oh, right. That's true.
Oh, the
GoFundMe page.
Go drink
me. Yeah, exactly. The GoFundMe page.
Right.
I mean, look, he sent me beer money, and he got, you know, enough beer money for the rest of his house.
I know. This is more, I would think this is more important than beer money.
Well, to you.
Exactly. So I'm saying he could probably get a lot more.
Well, thank you for your prognosis, Dr. Sandy. Doctor. Yeah.
Dr. Sandy.
All right, we have another idea. Hi, Carrie.
Hey, guys. Too bad the series House is off the air because this would be a great episode.
I was a huge House fan, and this is exactly the kind of thing that House made his money on, was solving these sort of medical confusions. Is that a word?
Conditions?
Conditions, too, yeah.
Is that what you were searching for?
Yeah, I was just saying confusions.
Thank you, Carrie.
Thanks, Carrie.
That's all, guys.
This is so weird.
Isn't this strange? I can't imagine what could possibly do this. Because you would think if it's something like they're testing the soil and the air, that other kids in the area would also suffer from this. But it's just these two brothers.
They had no siblings or anything?
Well, that's another sad part of the story. They've had other siblings that have died for other medical reasons, not related to this.
That's a main reason why you shouldn't marry your first cousin.
I seriously wonder if that doesn't play a role in this.
Well, that's why you're not supposed to marry someone who's related to you.
Right, right.
Genetic
mutations. Yeah, their parents are first cousins, so you wonder if maybe, possibly, that could have something.
Keep it in the family.
Yeah. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then we have more show for you. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Earlier, Wendy, I was telling Kevin about these two brothers, these Pakistani brothers, who we were just discussing. These are brothers who, during the day, function normally, no problems at all. And then as soon as the sun goes down, they become paralyzed. They can't move. It's like a one in a billion thing. So I'm telling Kevin about this, and he said, that's strange, but I know a stranger medical story. And then he told me a story, and I don't know if I'm the only one who somehow missed this. Maybe everybody in the world knows about this except for me. But Kevin, what were the specifics on the story you were telling me, the other strange medical story?
I'm sorry, say that one more time.
You told me about some medical story that was a little unusual.
Oh, just like an example of people that can like grow bark-like skin? Is that
no, not that one. The
oh,
other
I've
one.
I've seen that.
The person who, when they go to the bathroom, there's a problem.
Oh. It's
Listen
called
to
like
this, Wendy.
This is a real thing, and I don't know why it's bad necessarily, but it's called maple syrup syndrome or maple syrup urine syndrome.
Yeah.
And
what happens there?
So basically, I don't have the specifics in front of me, but there's some sort of buildup that makes your urine smell like maple syrup.
I'm not sure that would be awful. That might be all right.
It can cause brain damage, I guess.
Oh, that part's
in
bad.
In extreme
that
cases.
That part is bad.
What do I miss when I run to Whole Foods? I mean, I'm missing some
a lot
great
of medical
topics.
Talk.
Well,
Dr.
Yeah.
Art Uline joined us, and we sat down and we had a very frank discussion on medicine. That would almost be, other than the part about it messing with your brain, that is bad. But the rest of it would be, I think, kind of pleasant almost. Wouldn't it?
No.
It wouldn't be? Do you like maple syrup?
Yeah, but I wouldn't after that.
I wonder what it smells like after they eat asparagus.
Oh, man. I don't know.
If it's starting, you know, nicely like that,
We need more research money, Kevin, to continue
no,
to find
more
that
funding.
Out.
Maple yeah? syrup urine disease.
Did you ever hear of that? I didn't know that was a thing.
Hungry Jack had it once.
He did?
Yes. It is.
Is this like Butterworth syndrome? Because I've had that, Butterworth syndrome, a couple of times in my life.
It's an enzyme defect in the catabolic pathway of the branched chain amino acids.
That's what I told Kevin.
Leucine, isoleucine, and valine.
Leucine?
Accumulation of these three amino acids and their corresponding keto acids lead to encephalopathy, which is
that's
the brain
encephalitis.
Thing.
That's awful.
And progressive neurodegeneration in untreated infants.
Wow.
In 1954, a family was reported in which four infants died within the first 3 months of their lives because of this.
Oh, no. All right. That part's awful. I didn't know that part. He just told me the part about the aroma of maple syrup, and I went, that's not the worst thing in the world, but the rest is bad. If it was only the maple syrup, I'd go... as
Bring
diseases go, that's not the worst thing in the world.
I could never eat pancakes again.
It would, right. It would mess that up
yeah,
forever.
It would. Well, I would never do it.
Right.
I could just never eat them in the kitchen.
Now, if my urologist was based out of a Waffle House in Chattanooga, Tennessee, that would almost all make sense, wouldn't it?
It would ruin Waffle House for me.
It
That's how bad it,
it
would
it
be.
It would ruin breakfast.
Now, someone sent us something about these two youngsters who, when the sun goes down, they basically become paralyzed. They can't talk. They
yes.
can't do anything, basically.
Right.
They fall asleep.
Yeah.
There's two chemical systems that keep muscles paralyzed during REM sleep.
Yeah.
They have pinpointed the mechanism that keeps our muscles paralyzed, and they do this for a reason, our bodies, because when you're in REM sleep, that's when you do most of your dreaming, and you do become somewhat paralyzed so you don't get up and sleepwalk, which I know some people do.
Sure.
Or you don't punch your wife. Didn't you bite your wife or she bit you?
I bit her a couple months ago.
I'm talking about when you were sleeping.
Oh, then no.
But that's why it's supposed to happen during the REM sleep. So there's something funky with these kids and their...
Do you know who Mike Birbiglia is? You know who he is, right?
I know that name.
He's an actor and a stand-up comic, and he did a one-man show about the fact that he sleepwalks all the time. I can't remember what the name of it is. I want to say Sleepwalk With Me, but that might be David Lynch. Did he do one called...
No, that was
he did
Firewalk
With
Me.
Maybe this is called Sleepwalk With Me. Anyway, he's got this thing where he gets kind of violent in his sleep. Like, not only does he sleepwalk, but he, you know, starts... He dreams that he's punching and kicking. Yeah, and it's not safe if you're next to him.
Well, two powerful brain chemical systems work together to paralyze skeletal muscles during rapid eye movement or REM sleep, not to be confused with REM.
Right.
According to new research in the Journal of Neuroscience, this was released 4 years ago, so it's not that new, the finding may help scientists better understand and treat sleep disorders, including narcolepsy, tooth grinding, and REM sleep behavior disorder.
You had that.
Yeah,
tooth
know,
grinding.
I don't do it anymore since I went to see my
the acupuncturist.
Yes, which I have to start going to her again. During REM sleep, the deep sleep where most recalled dreams occur, muscles that move the eyes and those involved in breathing continue to move, but the most of the body's other muscles are stopped, potentially to prevent injury.
That makes sense.
It totally does.
So why? But it still doesn't answer the question. Why, as soon as the sun goes down, these kids, the bodies just shut down. That doesn't...
Yeah, but it might have something to do with this.
Yeah.
And again, don't marry your cousin. And no, not even if they're hot, according to a
texter. We did have a texter who wanted to know if that made it okay. No, still does not. Are you paralyzed? Did the sun go down?
I looked over at you. The sun went down in my head.
You just went, I'm out. Thanks for coming. I'm out. All right. Well, I didn't tell you this so you'd worry about it. So I know I said you're a hypochondriac at the beginning, and I don't want you to worry about this. This is a very rare disorder. So
I do like to nap when the sun goes down, but
normal.
I mean, I'm able to get up when
that's
the nap's over with.
Mike Leonard is going to join us in just a little bit. Mike is an incredibly...
Not if he was listening.
Right. Another guest that we've lost because of the show. Join us. So the news is next, and then the noon.
We did now, not drink our lunch, by the way.
I'm also paralyzed, by the way. And then more show, I promise. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. I sure hope former Chicago Blackhawks great Grant Mulvey is not listening, because he was your previous best friend.
He is my best
whole...
friend in the whole wide world.
I think you may have just found a new best friend.
Mike Leonard is runner-up. He's my new second best friend in the whole wide world. Mike is an Emmy Award-winning 32-year NBC Features correspondent and filmmaker, and has a new television series coming out called In Common with Mike Leonard. Hi, Mike. Nice to see
Hi,
you.
Bill. How are you? Hi,
Excellent.
Wendy.
Excellent.
Hi there, Mike. You guys were talking about something and showing pictures, and you'd think it would be of your wives or your kids or something like that.
Or the new grandchild.
Oh, congratulations.
Oh, yeah. How many is this?
That's eight.
Eight wow. grandchildren.
She was born, her name is Marjorie after my mom,
Aww.
And they call her Maggie, and she was born last Tuesday.
That's fantastic.
Congrats.
That's excellent.
Yeah, but forget her. Let's talk about
Yeah,
the
more important
you know?
Thing is,
yeah.
Mike has, I had Mike on several years ago at another radio station, and just kind of incidentally, he mentioned that he loves wiffle ball and has built a wiffle ball stadium in his yard, and it is the most amazing thing I've ever seen.
Thank you. It's
it
pretty
really
cool.
Is.
And it started with my son, the father of the new baby. We won't talk about that anymore, though. And,
no, you can.
No. And he, when he was about 14, 13, there were no boys in the neighborhood. So I just started pitching wiffle balls to him, and we'd hit it in the street. And then, you know, you go, we could do better than this. We need a backstop, and we need fences, and then eventually a scoreboard.
Yeah,
and it's in the front. It's the front yard, and it's Winnetka, and you know Winnetka, so it looks different.
That's a great way of putting it.
People go by, and they're either horrified or thrilled.
Yeah,
and you know, home runs occasionally hit a car going by too.
It's a wiffle ball. It's not
going to
hurt.
It's a plastic ball. I know.
You didn't have to convince your wife. There was no time where you said, "Here's an idea," and she went, "Yeah, that's not going to fly."
It was that whole permission thing, and you know. What is that line?
Easier to ask for permission than forgiveness.
I just did it. And,
or the other way around.
We bought the biggest thing was the scoreboard because I don't do any finances. I never have. And so I thought we needed a scoreboard and a remote control scoreboard. So
of course.
I looked and found one for about $600 or $700 and I just pulled the trigger. And ordered it, thinking that she'd miss it. You know, she wouldn't see that
right.
in the list of bills. But, of course, Mick, what's this thing for $600? I don't know. I'm in the other room. And I'm just going, just pay it.
Right.
Pay it.
Don't ask questions.
And then I hear the phone. Beep, boop, boop. She's dialing, and I run in there. It's a scoreboard. Like on my knees. Well, you need one, because we do, you know.
It is.
She's very forgiving, though.
As of now, Mike, it is not set up for night games, right?
Oh, we've had night games.
Have you
games.
Done night
yeah,
games here?
Yeah.
How'd you pull that off?
We bought lights at like Home Depot, those big construction kind of things you see.
On like a little tripod thing?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then we had a porch put on our house, and I had them put lights on a porch and a light on a big tree in center field. So it's pretty cool. We had
You're my hero, by the way. Sorry, Sully Sullenberger, but you, Mike, are my hero.
I did that, too. I landed a plane once. No.
No big deal.
On a wiffle ball field.
Yeah. Oh, good.
All right, so who plays? I mean, it's not like people can just walk up and play. This is your field.
It started with me and Brendan, and then, of course, a few of his friends. He's now 32. My brother, who lives nearby, he's 70. Mm-hmm. His son, who is in his, I think, late 30s or around that. Then my neighbor, who's 40-ish.
So this isn't a peewee league. This is like a...
No, no. We've had a couple women play,
mm-hmm.
and that caused a big furor on some the minds of some of the players.
Did it? Yeah?
Yeah, well, you know, it depends. You have to be able to play.
Yeah, right.
Because we don't want to have to go underhand. And I'm not saying that, you know, because of the male-female thing, because one of the women was a college softball player.
Oh.
But still, one of the guys had a problem with that.
Okay, so wait, it's overhand like baseball?
Yeah, throw it. Oh, we throw it hard.
Fast pitch?
Fast pitch.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we use a ball that's not really like... a wiffle ball curves too much.
Yeah.
So this is a ball with round holes all around it, and put a little piece of white tape on it so it moves like a baseball.
It breaks a little bit when you throw
it. And the games are... We play 2 four-inning games every week, every Sunday, and the scores are sometimes 4-3.
Oh, they're close. Good. Low scoring.
It's 9-0 against me. You know? But it's good. We keep stats and all of that.
Throughout the season.
It's fun. Yeah, yeah. It's something to do. It's not that I'm I'm not a huge baseball fan. I was an athlete in college, but it's just a way of having fun,
yeah.
And bringing my son back from the city.
Oh,
you know, it's
that's
build
pretty
it and
sweet.
He will come. So they do. They do show up every week.
That's beautiful.
How long have you been doing it every Sunday?
15 years or so. You know,
that's
isn't that
awesome.
Excellent?
Yeah.
We had to call it off last week because of the birth, which kind of ticked off a lot of players. But every now and then that happens.
You don't get a fill-in player, someone off the bench to take his spot?
I had to be down at the hospital.
Oh, yeah, that's
like that,
true.
So.
I would take more of you.
Yeah. People think I'm a big idiot talking about like this. I'm a jerk. I'm, you know, obviously kidding about the children and stuff like that, but it's great. I mean, it's fun.
That sounds like so much fun. And then ideally, you can't field a 9-man team on each team.
Like 4-on-4 or 5-on-5.
Yeah.
Some shrubs and trees had to be moved.
Yeah.
I did. There was a tree in center field that had a bunch of branches that were cutting out over the right field area, and my wife had said, "Don't do anything to the
don't
trees."
Don't touch
of
the
course.
Trees.
So she had a part-time job twice a week and would go up to the store and once you'd go, I'd take a ladder and I'd saw one branch off a week and then hide it. And these are pretty big branches. So if you see the tree now, it all breaks that way. You know, one direction, the other side is just nothing.
It looks like ComEd cut it around the
wires.
Yeah,
and you wouldn't, but she didn't notice, so it worked.
You're the best.
You're pretty sneaky in a really great way.
This is excellent. All right. The reason you're here, one of the main reasons we've got you here, is this new show, In Common with Mike Leonard.
Mm-hmm.
What do we need to know about this show, Mike?
Well, I just remembered from all my stories on NBC, I did over 1,000 of them, and I picked them myself. And they're mostly just regular people. And I've been to every red state and every blue state.
Mm-hmm.
And I never got in big-time arguments because we were just talking about life. And there were no wedge issues thrown in. I don't avoid that stuff. But when I do these stories, and I could be in the rural Louisiana or Mississippi or up in Greenwich Village, and we all got along. And so it's kind of about what we share in common. Because as you know right now, it's a very divisive time.
Absolutely.
And all it is arguing about this and that and this and that, and people don't believe in facts anymore and et cetera. So there's just a whole lot of people out there. And it's not one of those good news shows, kind of a sappy good news show. It's funny and I think it's interesting. But it's just about everything we share in common, which is way more than what we just disagree about. It's hard to say this without sounding kind of like it's one of those silly, you know, feel-good shows, and mm-hmm. it's just about mailmen and barbers and businessmen and women and all the rest who are going through life and facing challenges and doing it. It's not a story about or a show about average people doing extraordinary things. It's just normal things,
everyday,
right?
Average Joes,
right? Yeah,
and
I from the Today Show, I once did a story. I picked my own stories, which was great. So I could do stories on people with interesting names or towns. And I did a story on a guy named Joe Blow once. And I did a story on a town called Boring, Oregon. And it was named after a family, still has people there, Bob and Sue Boring.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And they said it was kind of, it was okay being called, you know, the last name is Boring, but when they went to restaurants, it would be Boring Party of Two. And they'd get up and leave. So just for that reason, I would go out to Oregon to do the story on them. And other things like that. So in that, you know, in that environment, I found that these were just regular people who had a different name.
Right.
Or people in towns. I went to Nobob, Kentucky, and Waterproof, Louisiana. And so when you go to a town like that, just because of the name, there's nobody in the town necessarily who is doing anything different mm-hmm. or extraordinary. So, but I'd always find a story there, and that's how it started. I did a story once on. I was looking up, I wanted to do a story making fun of TV people, and I wanted to say ass on the air.
Yeah.
So I found this organization of American Association of Spotted Asses. These people collect, they're like donkeys.
Yeah.
And so I went out there, and so then I thought, well, I can't say ass on the air because I want to make fun of censorship, sort of.
Yeah.
So every time we mentioned the word ass, we beeped it, but I didn't beep it. I recorded sounds of these donkeys going, and so whenever he said, yeah, it's the American Association of Spotted, would go like that. And went through the whole story, and it was a story about censorship, but also about spotted.
Beautiful.
You know, that kind of thing. And in that, out of that, like I say, in Montana. So, politically, I don't know whether we agreed or not on politics, but we just certainly had a laugh about his spotted asses. And and so I just feel that the whole bunch of people out there, we don't necessarily have to be at war with each other. You know, I don't necessarily have to go down to rural Georgia and have people say, oh, you're one of those big city guys, or you're NBC, you guys twist the truth, you know, and I don't want to get into those mm-hmm. discussions because you'll never win. I mean, I just rather just talk about life.
Yeah.
When you put all that aside, politics and religion and things that you would disagree upon when in a conversation, do you find that we are all so similar in many, many ways?
We are, but I can't change the way people think.
Right.
I can't. You know how that is. They're just going to be that way. And I know studies have been done, and, you know, they'll talk about satire, and they'll say the Colbert Show. People from the left would say, that's great. He's ridiculing Rush Limbaugh. Mm-hmm. And people from the right say, he's correct.
Right.
So it didn't have the effect of if the effect was to change somebody's mind, it didn't at all. So I feel that I'd like to get the facts out there, but if people aren't going to listen to the facts, I just want to, okay, let's at least get along first.
Yeah.
And perhaps then we can understand each other if we get along. But it's kind of scary right now.
Oh, yeah.
The world has changed, and I'm not blaming any one person, not really, at least not today. But it's just there's so much hatred and name-calling. It's like we're back on the playground in grade school.
Right. And like I said, in my travels, and I retired from NBC in 2012, so it wasn't that long ago, I never had a problem anywhere. I mean, I could be inner city, I could be this and that. Now, certainly, I'm not naive, and there are places you go where it's really dangerous, and you are taking your life into your hands. But in most communities, no matter what, I was fine, and the people were fine. We just talked about life, and it was more encouraging. Right now, we go, well, if we can't get along, then what are we going to do?
Right. Then we got a problem. Mike Leonard is here, award-winning NBC TV features correspondent and filmmaker. He has a new show, In Common with Mike Leonard. And where and when, Mike? When can people see this?
Well, we're filming right now, so we don't. It's on WTTW, yeah. And we don't know exactly when it's going to start. So I'm not here to promote any of that, but we've done a bunch of the shows, about 10 of them so far.
Good.
And they replay them. I think on the 18th of September, they're replaying at 6 o'clock. It's a Sunday. A story I did about Irish immigration or human migration, basically, in general. Yeah. And based on my father, my grandfather, grandmother, who came over with nothing into New York, then Paterson, New Jersey, and then Now Patterson has a different group of immigrants.
Yeah.
The Irish moved on. And it's a story about that told through the family, you know, one family's sort of circumstances.
Love it. I love it.
Yeah. We'll come back with more with Mike Leonard. Stay where you are. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN.
All right, we're talking with Mike Leonard, and honestly, I wish we could just keep the microphones on the whole time. We were talking about some interesting things off the air as well. You're an amazing man, let me just say that.
I don't know. I think it's been amazing that I've been able to become a voice of people like me who was not, you know, I wasn't destined to do this kind of job. I was a struggling student, as we talked about before, and all the rest, and didn't get into TV till I was in my early 30s. My wife is, you know, a saint and an angel for, we had three kids and no money for, you know, holding on.
Yeah.
While I said, I want to try to get a job at 32.
Right.
And people, you know, it sounds irresponsible, but I think it would have been irresponsible for me not to try to do it. I know your children want to do something creative and
follow your passion.
Gotta let them, right?
That's the thing. At some point you realize I kind of only get one go around, so you got to take a chance sometimes and hope for the best. Mm-hmm. And if it doesn't work, it's always nice to have a plan B, but boy, has it worked for you.
Yeah, and it's also a great experience because you're going out towards into that edge of ignorance where you're not sure of what's going on, and that's where all discoveries are made apart from what you know. And the thing is, it's kind of like if Lewis and Clark had Waze, they wouldn't leave because they, you know, like, you know, Trapper with 1,000 feet, Trapper with axe or tomahawk in shoulder on the shoulder up ahead. And they go, it's too dangerous out there. And if I knew how many times I would have screwed up on TV, you know, that was really embarrassing as I got started on live TV. I thought, well, I don't know if I can do that. But I didn't know. And so you make a mistake and you make a mistake, but you learn from the mistakes. So I think kind of what I didn't know was it was an advantage for me. And my parents were not that way. My mom, you know, people talk about helicopter, you know, parents or helicopter moms. My mom was like a spelunker mom. It's like, where's mom? Where's dinner? Like, are you down there? Like, hey, I've got a hockey game. Do you want to go see it? And like, drip, drip.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I mean, she was great. She was perfect. But she wasn't, it's too cold. I'm not going to the game.
Yeah.
And she was a great mom, but she wasn't all over me and all over us.
But being a mom, you feel like you can't be like that. Like if you don't act excited about your kids' play or their little league game, then you're a bad mom. But you have great.
Well, it was a different time.
I guess,
you know, I don't think. My mother never saw one of my hockey games, and I played Division I hockey. Mm. I would try it out for a professional team. I was a decent player. She never saw one, and it wasn't that big of a deal because I didn't see many other moms there. I'd see two or three dads there, but now the stands are filled.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think that's a bad thing. It was just a different time. And
no, but you're shamed if you don't go, too.
Now it's,
you're
it's
competing
a
with
thing.
The other parents.
Yeah, you didn't go. What's wrong with you?
Right.
But again, it was a whole different ball game, and we had being one of four boys and goofy kids and kind of mischievous. We had, and my mom was that way. She was kind of a tomboy, and we didn't have any pets in our house or anything like that. We just played ball. I remember one time my brother Kevin bought a chameleon at a circus. You could buy them. There was a guy going around with a card, and chameleons were on it. And with a little leash, like a little thread and a safety pin. So the idea was that if you were wearing a plaid shirt and you pinned it, that the chameleon might turn plaid, you know? And so you bought Kevin comes home from the circus with a chameleon. Like, oh, wow. So we thought, well, we better let it have some sun today. And we put it on our back stoop. And I came out in the back, and Pogo, the next door neighbor's dog, which back when dogs could run free, he just looked at me, and I just saw this thread. Out of his mouth. Yeah. So he ate the chameleon.
Pogo had lunch.
Pogo had lunch. So I shoot him off, and he sat on the grass and I was waiting for the Pogo to turn green, like the grass, you know, but it didn't happen. But so we would concoct ideas about Pogo, about what he's, you know, what color will he be if he's on the stand and all that kind of thing.
But sure, he'd pick up the chameleon characteristics, wouldn't he? That's how
it
works.
I would think, you know, you'd have a chameleon, you'd have to.
He would have to.
But that was the kind of thing you grow up with a, you know, there is no hovering kind of thing. And so my brothers and myself, we could just talk about the craziest things when we were 8 or 9 or 10 or something like
that's
that.
That's so funny. This isn't fair to ask you because we only have a minute, but I know you've done countless stories. You've covered countless stories over your decades of service. Is there one that is always stuck in your head? Is there one that you'll never forget?
It's one of the last stories I did, and I've said this before, was on a mailman, a Chicago mailman, an African-American guy named James Hundley, who I met. He services a building there. He's just a mailman. But I asked where he grew up, and he said Grenada, Mississippi. I said, how old were you when you left? Early 20s. He's the nicest guy in the world. Says hello to everybody. Everybody knows him. He's never seemingly had a bad day. And I said, Grenada, Mississippi, how old were you when you left? He said, early 20s. I said, so you were down there when all that bad stuff was happening. He said, I was a marcher. I was jailed. I was spat upon. And so I thought, I'm going to do a story on this guy because, you know, he was a foot soldier in the civil rights movement, and he has all this love, and he saw all this hate. I think we talked about this before. I'm not sure, but that just keeps coming back to me because you'll see this mailman, this black mailman walking down the street, and people go, some people go, oh, it's a civil service guy. They don't do any work, you know, that kind of stuff. He was one of the most wonderful people I've ever met in my life, and I don't think anybody would have known about him. But now when people see somebody who they might typecast as something, I always think of James Hundley, and that story never would have made the air if I had to pitch it.
Right.
Because they'd say, well, what did he do? Did he rescue somebody? I said, no, he's just a mailman. But he was a foot soldier.
Yeah.
And he couldn't stay in Mississippi because he was a foot soldier. He had to move, and he came to Chicago and became a mailman. And so it wasn't spectacular, but I think it epitomizes what I did. And I've been to the Olympics and all these other things, and I always just kind of circle back to James Hundley.
Real life. That's what you cover so perfectly. Really quickly here, Kathy wanted to talk to you. Kathy, you had something to say to Mike Leonard?
Yeah, Mike, it's Kathy Lauer, Van Treek. And I just wanted to thank you for you being so real.
Oh, thanks, Kath. Spent some time with Chuck.
We appreciate it. We really do, Mike. And you are one in a million.
Thank you.
And I think everybody needs to know how wonderful you are.
You're so nice
to
call.
You touch everybody's heart, no matter what you do or where you are, whether you're at Grand Foods or whatever you do. You're just very much appreciated, Mike. You make Winnetka, you make the North Shore just so much better.
Oh, you're really, really nice,
Kath. Take care of us, Mike.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kathy.
Her dad, I used to play hockey with him. He's in his 80s now. We had a Sunday morning thing, and he had cancer recently. So I would take him for a walk this summer. I only live about 3 blocks away, so it was no big deal. But it was fun because he's holding on. He's recovered. He's doing fine. And
good.
Kathy is his daughter.
It is a big deal because a lot of people don't take the time to give that arm for someone to grab onto.
Yeah, well, I happen to have time. You know, I work out of my house, so I do it. And it's really not hard. And I've met certain people who are well known, and you go, hi, you know, good job, and they look at you like they're being bothered. You know, I won't mention names. I'm thinking it's not so hard to say thank you, is
right.
it?
No, it sure isn't.
Shouldn't be. No. Great to see you again.
Nice seeing you, Will.
Come by more often.
I will.
Really.
Come to the stadium.
Oh, good luck trying to get rid of me. I'll be there every Sunday.
Bill's in the backyard. He's holding on to big
boy. It's Wednesday morning. What is he doing? We play on Sunday. I just want to beat the crowd. Mike Leonard's new show, In Common with Mike Leonard. You can see it there on WTTW. No official dates yet,
right?
But coming in the future.
Coming, yes.
You know what? Come back when it's ready to be announced, because we'd love to talk
to
you.
Excellent. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
A quick break and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Wendy, I have a treat for the wordsmiths in the audience, people who love the language. The new Oxford Dictionary has added, or is about to add, I should say, about 100 more words to their dictionary.
All right, well, we have time to go through them all.
You want to do all 100?
Yes.
All right.
All 100 or all 100?
All 100. You know what's frustrating? And I think the same thing happened last year. I'm almost positive, because as I'm reading this, I say to myself, this is deja vu. And I rarely speak French.
I know,
rarely.
And you did say this off the air. You're like, this is frustrating. I didn't ask what it was. Sorry.
Here's what it is. They've listed over, you can visit their website, which is publicoed.com. That's public and then Oxford English Dictionary, publicoed.com. They give you a full list of the words, and it's just over 100 of them. And then there's some, they give you another list, which is like two-word phrases that they've also added to the dictionary. So wouldn't you think if you were going to go through the process of doing that, you would also include the definition of those words?
They did this last year.
That's what I'm saying.
Because we were guessing what they were.
Right. they've got all the words there in alphabetical order, ready to be talked about, but then they don't tell you what the words mean, which I would say is poor.
See, I think it's good because then you will look them up and you will learn something.
Maybe
that's why
it.
They're doing it.
All right. Now, there's some. Yes, Steve?
Well, wouldn't you learn something if they had the definitions right there?
I think it'd be better.
Yeah, but they don't. They didn't last year either.
Kevin, our producer, did a little research, and he looked up some of them. So I can give you some of these. I'm assuming, like, they really run the gamut. There's some that you hear every day, and you go, well, that's not in the dictionary. That's not in the dictionary. Like, Cliff's Notes is finally in the dictionary. You know, because people all the time say, just give me the Cliff's Notes version.
Yeah, but I could see where it wouldn't have been in the dictionary because it's a brand name.
Yeah, but there's other brand names in the dictionary. Coke is in there. Pepsi, McDonald's, those are all in there.
What's funny, too, is it's not nearly as influential as it used to be, is it?
No, it's not.
Do they even make them anymore?
Yeah, they still have Cliff's Notes.
Where do you get them?
Crock and Brentano's.
Cliff's.
Right. Go to a cliff. Visit any cliff. They've got a stack of
them. You want
them.
My notes?
All right, so I'll tell you what some of these are. I think you'll know most of these. I just wish I had all of them because I'm looking at this huge list going, I'd love to know what that is, but they don't want to help me out over at Oxford.
Well, I'll help you.
All right. What would this be? Bracketology. The word bracketology.
Oh, that's easy.
Do you know
for
what that is?
The college brackets.
You're right. That's absolutely what it is. It's the art practiced during March Madness. It turns out that it is the term for filling in the gaps in any old manuscript with one's best guess. So it's essentially exactly what you said. Every year in March, if you look around your office, people are filling out these brackets.
Except me.
Except you. And I don't do it either. We don't do it. But
do you
bracketology.
Even watch college basketball?
No. Not really. Not
it.
Really.
No.
Mm-mm.
Did Columbia have a team?
Columbia College?
Yeah.
Not this season, no. Nope. No, they did not field the team.
Because you always go with your alma mater and, you know.
Columbia College's basketball program's weak. I'll be the first to admit that. And I went there on a basketball scholarship. Weak. Transporter.
Transporter?
Yeah. If I said, hey, are you looking for Kevin? He'll be right back. He's in the transporter. What would that mean?
Well, is it a space term? Like a Star Trek thing?
Yeah. Wow. You're two for two. It's the technology of Star Trek giving somebody the ability to transport from point A to point B.
That's what I thought, but
that's
why
exactly
would Kevin
right.
be in the transporter?
I just used him as an example.
Well, to transport, duh.
To go, yeah.
The transporter potty?
That too.
They have those now.
I'm afraid to go in there,
go to,
honestly.
Right. You'll end up in the Renaissance. Well, how did I get here?
I'll come out and Annie Oakley will be pointing a gun at my head because I have a playing card in my hand.
Biatch.
Oh, I know what that means.
That's not one of the words. Oh. I was just calling you that.
I was going to say, you sure do.
Kardashian.
Yeah.
It's just a B word.
Can I tell you something funny? They give 7 ways to spell it. Like the root word is the obvious female dog, right?
B-I-T-C-H. You can say
sounds
bitch.
Like word camp. You can spell it B-E-E-O-T-C-H. You can spell it B-E-O-C-H. You can spell it B-E-O-T-C-H, B-O-Y-O-T-C-H, B-I-O-T-C-H, B-I-Y-O-T-C-H, or B-E-E-O-C-H.
B-I-Bicky-Bi-B-E-O-Boo, Bicky-Bi-Bo, B-A-Boo, Bicky-Bi-Bo-Boo.
Isn't the function of a dictionary to define the spelling?
Yes.
Yeah, but there are
But there are times
ways.
Where there's more than one, but 7 ways to
not
spell
seven.
It.
7. That just means 5 of them are misspelled. You got to settle on something.
How hard would you have to work to spell that word incorrectly? Right. You could put down any combination of letters and almost always be right.
Take a stand. Declare one.
Yeah, but in the world of texting, they have to include all the different ones. Like people text it differently than they would write it.
True. All true. So that is now an acceptable word in the Oxford English Dictionary, as is the word cheeseball. What would that be if I said that guy over there, total cheeseball? What would that mean?
He's, I don't know how to describe it other than he is not a goofball, but...
You're close. A foolish or unoriginal person. You know how somebody will say, well, that's kind of cheesy.
Right.
So that would be a person who normally uses that sort of a way... to describe something or to be something.
I was in a quandary because I didn't know if I could use part of the word to describe it. Like someone who's cheesy, that would be...
A cheese ball.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, circle would get the square
easy.
For
all
that.
Right,
you're
so
fine with
am
that.
Am I 3 for 3?
Yeah, you're... I think you're 4 for 4. You're 4 for 4. This one, I'll be so disappointed in you if you don't get this. This is now a word that's acceptable according to the Oxford English Dictionary. Forget about it.
That is not a word.
F-U-H-G-E-D-D-A-B-O-U-D-I-T. Forget about it.
It's an Italian version of saying that's not going to happen.
Yep, that's it exactly. It's an interjection, a slang term meaning forget about it. All one word, God. Forget about it. Very Sopranos, right?
That should not be in the Oxford Dictionary. That should be in the slang dictionary.
They are now accepting it as part of the English lexicon. According to them.
I'm moving.
And is this going to make you move?
Not if Trump becomes president. If forget about it is in the Oxford Dictionary. I'm out of here.
That's where we draw the line. All right, more of these new words according to the Oxford Old English Dictionary. The language is a change in it's Bill and Wendy WGN.
I'm curious as to the term DIY. I bet that's been added to the Oxford Dictionary.
DIY, of course, meaning do it yourself. I'll take a quick look because they're all listed alphabetically. I was just wondering, you know how people now upgrade their iPhone every time there's any kind of a new model, they get a new iPhone? Do people do that with their dictionaries? Do people go, oh, the people over at Oxford English, they put out a new dictionary. I got to get rid of my old one and get a new one.
Who has a dictionary that they've bought recently? I have one at home.
You
go online, dictionary.com.
I buy a new one fairly often. Why? Because my wife and I play Scrabble and Upwords.
It goes with his phone.
Thank you, Steve, and it goes with my phone. So just to be up to date with which words I have to disqualify my wife from using from those games,
yeah.
I want it to be, you know, as fresh as a daisy.
Like you are.
There's a bunch of words that are inspired by Roald Dahl.
I never know how to say his name.
Dahl.
It's Dahl, actually.
Roald. Is his first name.
That's what I thought.
His family was very poor and could not afford the letter N when they named him Ronald. So his name is Roald. They said, you know what? Someday we'll be able to afford an N, but for now we'll go with Roald. And
he gave his N to Ronald McDonald.
Yeah, he did.
Because it worked better.
Right.
What? Otherwise it would have been Roald McDonald.
Right.
That's not
going to work. Yeah. So the words witching hour, which are inspired by his book BFG, the word Oompa Loompa, which of course comes from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, later Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Those are now acceptable words. Thank you, Oxford English.
That should have been in there before.
Long time ago.
I reject this list.
Why? Why? You can't, Steve.
Rejected. Because any list of, it should be new words or words that how our usage has changed.
Right.
It's not like because old words die and they've got room for new old words.
I'm with Bertrand on this one.
You think they should be like only words that have come up in the last 12 months or so should be eligible?
Exactly.
I agree with you, Steve. You shouldn't just add old ones in just to add new words to the list.
I think they wait. I know I'm speaking here for the people over at Oxford Old English, but I think they wait a little while to see if the words kind of...
Well, they're old.
Well, that's my point, but Oompa Loompa?
Yeah, that's been around for 50 years now.
That's unacceptable. I'm totally with Steve Bertrand
on
this.
All right.
You've been Bertrand. I'd like to add that.
Rejected. What about...
thank you, Marv Albert.
You're welcome. What about the word moobs?
Man breasts.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
What do you mean, kind of?
Well, definitely. You can now say that legally.
It's right there in the Oxford Dictionary.
Right.
See, that shouldn't be in
there. Here's what I would do if I were you. Carry around an Oxford English Dictionary and just say to a guy, nice moobs. And if he calls you out on it, go, look, it's right here on page 861.
Mom, it's in the dictionary.
Right.
No one uses that term. I'm sorry. It's a slam. And I mean, you would just say, boy, it looks like you need a bra. You wouldn't just go,
better.
Hey, nice moves.
I think a man would take that as much more of a compliment.
No, I wouldn't say either to them, but they wouldn't go, No guy would ever use that.
Did you ever do this when you were in grade school? Like if you had library day where your class had to go to the library, would you like find a dictionary or two and you and your friends sit in the corner and look up potentially dirty words?
Yeah.
Yes, but I swore I'd never talk about it.
Why is that such a good time? I have no idea why that was such a good time.
Because we didn't have the internet back then.
At the time, it was as close as you could get.
Yep.
I guess
so. And then you'd go look at the National Geographic magazines with the prostheses.
Yes. So true. T-bone is now a word. but not the steak variety. That's been a word for a long time, but now they've added another meeting to T-bone. What would that be?
Not the accident.
Yep.
That's been around forever.
Not according to the Oxford Old English. This just started now. It is a verb for a particular kind of car crash. That is the T-bone accident. You can now say that.
Where the cars are perpendicular. Whoops.
Careful, Wendy.
That's not in there
yet.
You cannot
say that.
Perpendicular to one another.
Yes.
I think you just misspoke, but you said the Oxford Old English Dictionary.
Did I say that?
I mean, that might explain it.
Maybe. Possibly. What is uptalk?
Oh.
Uptalk.
When you talk like this.
You're, again.
I am,
you're
like.
You're almost there.
I'm a linguist.
You are.
Yes. Insert joke there. Yes. I know the whole listening audience did
it. It's the rise in your voice that suggests a question whenever you're talking. When you know, when you end your sentence on an up.
You did a good job today?
That's it. That's the perfect example. They want you to record that for their books on tape.
I know, right?
Yep. That would be another perfect example. That's it, exactly. What is this word? Yogalattes. What is Yogalattes?
When you combine yoga and Pilates.
Yeah, wow.
These are so easy.
That's impressive. It is yoga. It is exactly as you said, yoga combined with Pilates. What is this? A biffy.
A biffy?
Yeah, what's a biffy? You got to really like somebody.
How do you spell it?
B-I-F-F-Y, biffy.
Welcome to the Dirty Word Spelling Bee here at WGN.
I've never heard this referred to as a biffy in my life.
Best friend for a year?
Well, where does the I come in?
Oh, that's a great...
No. But there's an I in there that you're forgetting.
Well, B-I-F-F-Y.
B-I-F-F-Y.
And biffy was his name-o.
When you biff someone in the head, does it have anything to do with that?
That's like a zets to the head? Like when you just pop somebody in the head?
I never heard the zets.
Yeah, zets to the head.
Where's zets?
Yeah. A biffy is an outdoor toilet. Where's Constance? She's in the biffy. You almost have to have a British accent. I don't think an American could get away with saying biffy with any kind of... It doesn't sound right.
What is the origin of that word?
I've never heard that before.
I've never heard of that before.
The origin is too much beer. You have to find the biffy.
I was going to say like an overly rich, pretentious kid. Doesn't that sound like a biffy?
That's a Buffy.
Oh, maybe that's a Buffy. I apologize to all the Buffys I've called biffy over the years.
I am trying to look up...
Don't look up
it's
someone's
Canadian,
biffy.
It's Upper Midwest and Canadian slang, a toilet or privy.
Oh, it's a privy.
Are you privy to that information? Because I don't want to be.
It smells
like maple syrup.
And that's a wrap.
We have a winner. Stop your calls. We have a winner. All right, we need to take a break. Steve has the news next and then more show. Phil and Wendy, WGN.
It's Bill and Wendy. Thank you, Steve. I hope you don't have any overdue library books, which I actually have.
Oh, you do? Yeah?
I just got a notice from the library that we still have Tortoises for Dummies out.
Oh, you have to return that.
Tortoises for Dummies?
Yeah, Dylan has two tortoises, Doc and Marty.
Yeah, so he wanted to brush up and know what to do.
Well,
to...
I made him do that. He had a bunch of books and stuff, but I said, you know... what are you supposed to feed them? I know there's tortoise food, but then they're supposed to get leafy vegetables, too.
Is the library surprised that someone who checked out Tortoises for Dummies would be slow in returning it?
That's a good point. Now, you know what? I don't feel so guilty anymore. But I did get an email saying that, you know, you need to return it.
You should call them every 3 days and right, say, closer. I'm one block closer.
I can see the library now.
I live really close to the library, so that's even funnier.
Do that.
I will do that. Thank you for the idea, you two. You're like the Caped Crusaders.
Yeah.
Well, if I was living in Alabama, the Athens Limestone Public Library would want to put me in jail for that.
For an overdue library book.
With roughly $200,000 owed to them in overdue book fees, the library is going to start enforcing a mostly unknown city ordinance that will prescribe further fines and the possibility of jail time for those who have neglected to pay fees, according to the News Courier.
It's the way to build goodwill and encourage right. reading in town.
Right. And the jails aren't overcrowded at all, so this will be great.
Funny is they have a great library in the jail here.
The ordinance allows the municipality to fine or jail for 30 days
oh, no.
library patrons who have failed or refused to return rented materials.
Explain that to your soulmate when the conversation of why are you in comes up. What'd you do? Oh, I had this Ken Follett novel for 3 weeks, and I was only supposed to have it for two.
That's instant respect behind bars.
Immediate respect.
No one's going to mess with you.
Right.
If you're thinking this is kind of harsh, the library automatically renews most rented materials twice.
Yeah.
So they've got your back. Reminders of due dates are sent via text and email, and overdue notice letters are sent ahead of receiving a bill, which I did get the email.
You did. All right.
I don't think a lot of people are waiting for the Tortoises for Dummies book. I think we're the only one in the Grange.
No, it must have come to their attention. There must be people waiting in line for...
We keep waiting for that book. Where is it?
Bearded dragons are more popular.
Alphabetical order. You know, they had, you know, monkeys for dummies, and then there was pandas for dummies, and slugs for dummies, and now there are tortoises for dummies.
In conjunction with Unique Management Services, a collections agency specializing in library fines, the library sends certified letters to patrons to ensure they're aware of their lateness.
Yeah.
This Unique Management Service, UMS, from this point forward, also has something they call the gentle nudge process.
That sounds pleasant.
It's gentle.
Can I sign up for that?
It's a new word in the dictionary.
All right. Well, do you want to know what the gentle nudge process is?
Yeah.
It's a 120-day series of letters, calls, skip tracing. I don't know what that is.
I don't know what that is either.
Steve? Kevin?
Skip tracing?
Skip tracing? No.
And credit reporting tailored specifically for libraries. It's based upon the golden rule to treat others the way you would like to be treated.
Well,
someone's waiting for your book.
That's valid. But did you say, how many days did you say?
120 days.
All right. Wow.
So if people can endure 4 months of borderline harassment and credit hounding and still won't give their books back, they sound literally terrible and deserve to be punished.
When you were in school, you had a school library, I'm guessing, right? So when you would check out a book, if you were late on the book, was the penalty 2 cents a day? Ours was 2 cents a day. And then when my daughters were in school, it was 5 cents a day. But even that's not enough, I don't think, to make you go, wow, I better get this book back.
Listen, I did not see the last episode of Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
And I wanted to see it.
Yeah.
So I went to the library services, SWAN, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And I found it at the Summit Library.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't live that far from Summit, so I drove over there and I got it out.
Your card transferred? Local library card transferred to other libraries?
When I say SWAN.
It's a network.
Yeah.
Oh.
So you can find out where it's on the shelf and you can do it all electronically and then go pick it up.
Oh, all right.
I wish they could just send it through the computer, like streaming.
That'd be
easier.
Which
someday they will.
Mm-hmm.
But then they'll never get it back.
Yeah, that's true, too.
So I got the last episode of Breaking Bad, the season finale. I don't know what happened, but we missed taping that.
Okay.
So I went and got it, and it kind of sat on the ottoman for a couple, 3-4 days.
Yeah.
Because we didn't have time to watch it. The next thing I know, I think it was $45 when I returned it.
Wow.
Because it's like $2 a day for a video. It was longer than I thought because it was sitting on the ottoman. We didn't get to it, and then we kind of forgot. And then it had been there. It was like $45.
I'm sorry. So it was sitting on your ottoman for how many weeks?
I don't remember.
It would have to be a few weeks for that kind of a price.
Oh, yeah, it was.
Yeah.
But I mean, I didn't get a reminder.
Did they offer you the option of buying it?
No.
They didn't even offer you that option.
I paid it.
I had a, remember the book, I'm just going to give you the title, Bill, you'll get it. Cruel Shoes?
Sure, Steve Martin.
Checked it out from the Manteno Public Library and forgot to return it.
Mm-hmm.
And one day I met Steve Martin and I had him sign my stolen library book.
Oh my God,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah, he wrote, return this book.
Well, did you take it back to the library?
No, I bought it.
And then it's a collector's item.
Right.
When I managed the video store in Downers Grove, a lot of times people would have late fees that were more than the movie
item.
Cost. So we would always offer them that option. We would call up and say, look, you've had it for 6 weeks. It would make more sense if you just buy it. Do you want to buy it? We'll also have to
charge
you. They
didn't give me the option.
Because imagine paying, I mean, would you ever consider, unless it was your favorite movie, paying $80 or $100?
No.
For it, but they would pay it sometimes.
Well, I don't know where you worked, but where I used to rent movies, I used to get John Wayne impersonators and Arnold Schwarzenegger saying, return the movie.
Yeah. Yeah. They'd call, at Blockbuster used to do that, right?
Yes, I can say that. Yes, yeah. So they were very fun.
Yeah.
I sometimes didn't return it just so I could get those calls. Arnold's on the phone.
Oh.
Hi, Bill.
Hi. I was just calling to say that with more libraries using e-books now, mm-hmm. When you hit the due date, the book disappears from your reader.
Oh.
So they don't get the... Actually, they say a lot of libraries kind of miss the fine income.
Oh, I bet. That makes sense.
But on the other hand, though, the next guy... You know, they're not waiting for you to return the book because they get the book at that point.
Yeah, there were a lot of people waiting. There was a waiting list for the Breaking Bad. That's why I had to go to the Summit Library. So yeah. The fact that I didn't return it, people were mad, and that's why they charged me a lot of money. Well, thank you. That's good to know, Bill.
Okay.
Thanks, Bill.
I love going to the library.
I do, too.
Love it.
Now, help me with this because I don't have any kind of a downloadable book source. Is it a lot cheaper to rent a book through a library than to just buy it outright from Blockbuster?
Well, yeah. I don't rent ebooks, but I have rented DVDs.
Yeah.
And except for the Breaking Bad one, it's like $2 a day. So if there's a movie you want to get and somebody says, don't you have Netflix? I did, but they didn't have that last episode because I was like a year late in watching Breaking Bad. I got late to the party.
I'm surprised they didn't have it.
They did not have it.
No?
Like, I'm trying to watch Fear the Walking Dead, and yeah.
That's still too new.
The
season's still...
Even the On Demand or whatever it is you can get, they only have two episodes and not the first two of the season.
Oh, I wonder why they're out of sequence. That's strange.
They're going to make me go back to the library, and then I'm going to be in jail.
They're not going to allow you in the library.
I'll get gently nudged.
Your picture's up when you go to the library. Do not serve this woman. All right, we need to take a quick break. If you want to jump in, we're at 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right, in Athens, Georgia, they are going to send you to jail for 30 days or fine you or both if you do not return your overdue library books.
Can they do that? Can they send you to jail for that?
They said they are going to start enforcing a mostly unknown city ordinance.
Yeah.
Which will prescribe further fines and the possibility of jail time for those who have neglected to pay fees.
You got to have a pretty bad lawyer to be serving jail time for an overdue library book.
And a really good book.
Right. Right. You could finish it finally. You finally have time to just sit back and read finally.
Hi, Karen.
Hi, Bill and Wendy. Just love listening to you.
Oh,
but
thank
as
you.
A librarian, it's funny because I've really enjoyed this conversation that I've been listening to, yet there is a way to kind of cheat the system. I've learned this actually through talking to my local librarian.
What is it? Can you tell us?
Yeah, I downloaded an ebook on my iPad.
Yeah.
And you're right. You know, it hits the date and it should go poof unless you've turned off your wireless connection. My iPad right now is not on the internet anymore. Because I don't want to lose that book because I haven't finished it. So
it won't update.
Literally, yeah, so it won't update. So as long as it's not connected and it's an audio book, so I've been listening to it actually, it will not update until I tell the wireless to update and get on the internet.
Which is awesome. You can finish the book, but you're getting news from 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the downside.
I'm a newspaper reader, so it's one of those things that I use multiple different devices to keep up to date on the world. And that iPad is stuck about 2 weeks ago because my audiobook was due then. So I'm going to listen to it as soon as I've got some time.
Huh. What book is it? We're curious.
Oh, it's Michael Connelly's Fifth Witness. I don't know. Why do they call it Fifth Witness? And it's like, it's just a nail biter to me. So I'm going to finish it maybe tomorrow.
All right.
Unless I'm listening to you guys.
We're keeping you from reading.
Yeah, we don't want to do that.
That
Karen.
Makes me proud.
Well, thank you, Karen.
I love your show so much.
You're so
I love
nice.
It. You've got such a nice long day. I listen to you in the morning and then noon and then hit you in the afternoon as well.
Oh, you're the best. Thank you.
Thank you,
we appreciate
Karen.
That.
She's right about it being a long day.
It is, well, you know.
Hi, Marianne.
Hi there.
Hi.
I love you guys, too.
Oh,
you're
thank
wonderful.
You. You're so nice.
You really are.
Thank you.
I wish you were on longer.
All right. We'll stay on longer.
I can't do that.
So you can make more money.
Oh. Wendy, now are you in? Wendy's still
sure.
a little reluctant.
We were talking about this gentle nudge that the library
right,
is doing,
right.
a 120-day right. series of letters called skip tracing and credit
yes.
reporting. What is skip tracing?
Skip tracing is a term that's used for collections, like bill collections or trying to find someone. It's if, let's say you have an account with Macy's, and you move, and you don't let them know that you moved, and they don't know where you are, and you're not paying your bill. They're trying to find you, and there's means that to which they go to do that, and that's what's called skip tracing.
Interesting. So you're skipping out on the bill, and they're tracing you to find you.
Right.
Exactly, yeah.
I wonder how much
work in collections, so that's how I know that.
How much money, though, would a library spend? Let's say you've taken their book, and I mean, they wouldn't be willing to spend more than the book is worth, right? I can't imagine.
I have no idea.
Huh. All right.
Maybe it's a matter of principle.
Yeah, it could be.
I think it is.
All right.
Thank you very much for explaining that. And everything cool with the collections?
Oh, I got out of that a long time ago. It was awful.
Yeah.
Well, good for you.
I hated it. I really hated it.
All right. Well, everybody pay your bills, and thank God we don't know what that means.
The prisons are going to be filled with people now who just didn't return their books.
Bookworm prison.
Yeah, that's what it's going to be. It's going to be, you've seen Oz. It's going to be like Oz, only with people reading.
Atabisi will have a little light on his little hat.
Yeah.
And so he can read at night.
Yep.
Will you turn that light off? All right. Another law story that I want to tell you. This from Maryland. A Maryland woman was arrested last week after apparently being unable to resist the temptation of crispy, hot, fresh, salty French fries.
So far, I'm on her side. I don't know what she did, but I'm on her side.
Well, an unidentified police officer who was dining at the Italian Pizza Kitchen in Washington, D.C. last Wednesday said the woman approached and tried to start a conversation, according to reports. During the chat, the woman allegedly reached over, took a French fry, and ate it. And then, Bill, she did it again.
Oh, well.
I then politely asked the person to not do that again because I paid for that food and she was stealing from me and she could be arrested for theft of my food, the officer wrote in a police report. Are you kidding me?
So she reached over, she grabbed a fry, grabbed another fry. Was she interested in this police officer? Why was she hovering over?
Fry my Frenches. I don't know. But she said, or he said to her,
yes,
don't do that again. I paid for that food. You're stealing from me. I could arrest you for theft of my food. And then the woman, who was not publicly named, said, well, then you might as well take me to jail.
Oh, wow. Rebel.
With that, she snagged another fry.
Oh, now she's just being defiant at that point. The third one, that's the defiant fry.
The officer arrested the woman and charged her with second-degree theft. The Washington Post noted that the police report listed the items stolen as French fried potato, quantity 3.
Assaulted battery. Isn't that? I think that qualifies as assaulted battery.
That's worth it, though.
Wow.
How could you go to jail for taking 3 French fries? I know you shouldn't take what's yours. I mean,
what's not yours. Right.
Yes.
Yes.
But, I mean, you arrest someone for that?
That's, again, with everybody complaining about prisons being overcrowded, I'm not sure our best maneuver is to put people who have stolen French fries and library books in the prisons, but that's me.
And then in the next cell, the Hamburglar's there.
Right. I know you. All right, we'll take a quick break. Ro and Anna will be in momentarily to tell us what they have coming up on their show. Stay where you are. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder on WGN.